The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who delivered the medical school cadavers to the alumni dinner? Every Halloween, the trees are filled with underwear. Every spring, the toilets explode.
You're talking about
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I state your name.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat. With liberty and fraternity for all.
Paul Perillo.
I won't go schizo, will I?
There's a distinct possibility.
And Andy. And Andy?
You guys up for a toga party?
Toga! Toga!
Andy Hart.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
German? Forget it, he's rolling.
Eric Scalavino.
7 years of college down the drain.
For now, anyway.
Okay, this guy is a real zero, that's true. Just think back when you guys were freshmen, huh? I myself was so obnoxious, the seniors used to beat me up once a week. So this guy is a total loser? Well, let me tell you the story of another loser.
PFW in Progress.
A stupid gesture be done on somebody's part. We're just the guys to do it.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Let's go! Come on!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang is all here, and I mean it. Paul's back from a harrowing incident in his car yesterday.
Freddie, I was here on Tuesday.
Yeah. He didn't actually miss any
radio. I didn't miss any shows.
Eric is firmly back from Africa. He was kind of back last show, but now
it was sort of I was sort of in transition.
Right.
And now he was out in Arizona.
Unfortunately, Andy's here, and Pepe.
He did miss time. What are you doing? He didn't miss any radio time, and you explained this whole thing that no one knew about. Eric actually missed radio time when he was in Arizona. You just ignore that and say he's firmly back from Africa.
And Pepe is back. He's back in the booth for a little while. Kevin's coming eventually.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah. So guys. Eric is back from the owner's meeting. Anything else you want to add to that? Because that's kind of the news of the day, I guess, plus with the rule change.
Yeah, the tuck rule is no longer.
Right.
That was the big news from yesterday, the final day at the owners' meetings. And as far as from a Patriots perspective, from a league perspective, the big news yesterday, I think, was the crown of the helmet rule that was passed overwhelmingly.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that because, I can understand where they're coming from. It's going to be hard to enforce, but I can understand it. I think it's going to be very rare that it's called. Web radio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. As far as Patriots news, not much going on right now.
Nico's back.
Yeah, they signed
Nico Suave.
Marquise Cole and Nico's Kudavides. So, you know,
what?
Some minor signings there. I mean, where else are they going to go? Really?
Is that the negotiating ploy they used with Welker? I mean, really, where else are you going to go?
But really, attention's kind of been turned to Vollmer now. What is going to happen with Sebastian Vollmer?
He'll be re-signing within a week.
You think so?
I have nothing to go on. Nothing at all.
It looks like he might have to come crawling back.
I haven't heard anything about him from any other teams or interest or anything. Nothing.
Well, I could see the initial period of reluctance with Jake Long's situation, and I believe Vollmer has the same agents, too. He's a CAA guy with Condon and Ben Dogra and all those guys. So,
Ben
Dotha.
I knew Andy was thinking.
No, but more because of the past we have here on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
so I thought there would be the Jake Long situation turned out to be a little bit unique, and it took some time. He had that long physical in St. Louis, and then he was weighing back and forth, should I stay in Miami?
Aren't all his physicals long physicals?
Okay. That's the kind of human that you can expect if you listen to Andy Hart at open mic night.
He signed a long-term deal with the Rams.
Aren't they all?
So now I think it's time you'll see the other, and there's a fair amount of tackles on the market too that are, you know, Eric Winston is one that now has been linked a little bit to here.
Right.
Also, Miami's going to need a tackle now, so they're in.
And he was
involved
in Miami
as well.
Yesterday.
Yeah. So that situation, and I think that it's going to all work out the way Andy said. I think Vollmer's not getting that that deal that maybe, to be honest with you, I thought he would. I thought someone would overpay him and sort of look past the injury history, because there's so many teams that seem to be badly in need of tackles, but it doesn't look like the market has materialized, and collusion reigns once again.
Ah. And he could end up on a one-year deal saying,
I think that's
okay,
what's
gonna
happen.
I can play 15 games next year, then I'll prove to teams I deserve a four-year deal. But you might get him for a year at $4 million, you know, $5 million, somewhere in there. I could see that happening.
You know who we owe an apology to?
Bill Belichick.
Michael Hawley.
Well,
and a lot of Michael Hawley contracts.
No,
not quite.
Adrian Wilson signed a Michael Hawley contract.
Speaking of those contracts, the Chicago Bears tried to give Brian Urlach a Michael Hawley contract, which
he moved on.
$1 million,
and
possibly,
I think he's going to end up signing somewhere for something like that.
But possibly to make $2 million. Are you surprised at that?
No.
Is he that banged up where, you know, the Bears are like,
yes,
yeah,
he's done.
Yeah, I heard somebody say, I think it was Pat Kerr on Sirius yesterday.
You're burping already?
Say,
we haven't even eaten.
You know, he just really hopes he retires, because this isn't the way. You don't want to just go and play just to play.
Yeah, a guy like Welker got a low money deal because people assume at his age he's going to start breaking down. Urlacher is already breaking down, so he's even a worse case of that.
Right.
So I can't imagine him getting anything.
Yeah, but he was insulted by the deal, by the offer.
Slap in the face.
And I'm sure Welker was, too.
And I can also understand a guy, like Andy just said, you know, maybe he is done and all that, but I could also understand a guy not wanting to re-sign with his team for nothing.
Right.
And then he goes out and he's like, well,
I still want to play football.
I still want to play. Maybe I'll sign a similar deal with somebody else. And I heard someone brought up Baltimore today, you know, sort of replace that Ray Lewis role.
And he kind of said he would.
Yeah.
He said he trailed off kind of and said, you know, I'm not signing something like that, at least not here. So he even kind of admitted.
Yeah.
And I can see that. I mean,
I can too. Yeah.
It's kind of like the head coach coming back to be a coordinator again. Like, you've already been something.
I'll do
you
it,
were
but
the
not
leader,
there.
The big money guy. You can't go backwards. It's kind of weird.
What did you guys think of Ed Reed? Now, I don't think it's a done deal yet, but I guess it's
the longest negotiation.
It's pretty
of all
much
time.
A done deal where he's going to sign with the Texans.
Correct.
For $7 million?
Oh, I don't think so.
No?
That's what he was looking for.
I'm
not sure that's what he got.
Oh, okay.
Did he end up going to San Francisco for the visit?
I don't know.
Because wasn't that the report after he left Houston he was going to go to either San Francisco or Indianapolis?
I hadn't heard San Francisco.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised he didn't end up in Indianapolis. I thought he would stay in Baltimore or go to the Colts. And, you know, the Colts made some moves in the secondary. Yeah. And the Colts made some moves in the secondary. I'm surprised. I just figured he would end up back in Baltimore.
Well, I mean, now, I know the Texans were kind of shown, you know, given their comeuppance twice here, but that's a formidable defense now with Ed Reed there and, you know.
Well, it's always been a formidable defense
when
it plays like a formidable defense.
Yeah.
They suck, they suck.
And, you know, and I don't know how good – I'm not saying that, like, Glover Quinn is better than Ed Reed. He's not, but – they lost him,
right,
and they added Ed Reed. So it's one of those, like what we've been talking about for the last week with the Patriots. So far, the Patriots have done a lot of reshuffling. You know, they haven't really done much tangible improvement
right
yet. And I think that's the situation. I think Ed Reed is good. I mean, I think he'll help that team. But I'm not sure that this is the kind of move that, like, oh, now they get put over the top.
I'm with you, Paul. I thought he was going to be back with the Ravens. I thought the whole idea of getting rid of Bolden was so that you could keep Reed. Because remember, the talk early was, oh, we're going to get rid of Reed and sign Bolden. And then that kind of reversed, and then Bolden left. And I thought that was so that you'd have the room to sign Reed, but I guess not.
A lot of people thought Brady's restructure was so you could have Welker.
Well, yeah, that's true.
So these things don't always play out like we think they are.
That was the big news from yesterday, Ed Reed and Urlacher.
We still don't have a pass rusher.
Right.
Even though Erica Lee keeps telling us we're going to have a pass rusher.
But Abraham,
now he's somewhere in
Denver.
Visiting, right? Denver.
They're
right.
It's this incestuous rotation of pass rushers.
Well, because they all went together.
OC, I believe, is in Atlanta, and Abraham is in Denver. Freeney's been linked to Denver.
Freeney was in Denver.
Doomerville has like a day to choose to go to Denver.
Yeah, he evidently turned down whatever they offered
him. So it's all this just they're all
I was a little surprised they
pool.
Offered him something.
Who?
Denver.
Well, don't you think? I thought it was
Doomerville?
Yeah. I thought it was sort of like a make good for not getting the paperwork.
Well, no, just like, you know, Andy brought up when we were doing our podcast last week, Freddie, that's when this Doomerville thing hit. Eric had it on the Twitter. It came up on the Twitter there. And Eric was sort of updating us, and we were like, well, maybe he'll just go back to Denver. And then Andy right away was like, well, it sounds like there'll be like cap ramifications to that.
The acceleration.
Which certainly that's the case that ended up happening. And I thought for that reason, not that Denver doesn't want Doomerville back. Obviously they do. They were willing to pay him $8 million. But I just thought the cap was going to make it prohibitive. And I was surprised to see them. They're still, you know, significantly into the,
right.
you know, in the picture.
By not getting that thing, that contract done, it cost them like $4 million against the cap.
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Something like that. And then if they sign him, then it's extra on top of that. So you'd end up maybe paying him 12, you know.
Well, but
that
you're not going to.
Well,
right.
But they're
not going
to do it. They're not going to pay him what they were originally going
to
pay him.
Right. They're basically going to – he's going to have to eat some of it if he wants to be back there.
Right, yeah. Which kind of decreases the odds of him being back
there. If he really wanted
it, sounds like he wanted to be there, and he was pushing it all along to the edge, to the edge, to the edge, and then okay, yeah, I really do want to.
Well, let's see how bad does he sign like a 1-year veteran minimum deal?
With
that's the only thing that could save.
Plus, they're the Broncos.
That's the only thing that could save the Broncos.
Will they be winking when they sign it because something down the road and he's half owner?
Right.
Half owner.
All these behind the scenes deals.
That took an ugly turn.
You know. So, but I find that is what I find most interesting, right? That whole pass rush thing. All these guys that we think can be good and help everybody.
Everybody's thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Just pick one and sign one.
Yeah, it's weird. I
think Peter King said basically what we were talking about last week about the pass rushers. It certainly seems like the Patriots are looking for whichever one will sign for the least amount of money.
Right. Right. I think teams are looking for value right now.
And that apparently wasn't Freeney or Abraham when they were here. They've moved on to see what else is out there.
Yeah. So let's talk about these rule changes. The top
one
rule,
quick thing. Adrian Wilson at 1 o'clock conference call.
That's right. Are we covering that or are we not going to?
We're not going to be able to hear it anyway.
We can never
so
hear them
matter.
Anyway. So. Yeah.
We'll just wait for the transcript.
It'll be on Patriots.com in its entirety.
Did you read the Adrian Wilson story from Karen Garigian? Anybody?
I did. For the most part, I didn't read the entire thing.
The headline led me to believe she had somebody telling me he was still good.
Yeah, the first two columns said no.
I didn't find anything where it said he was still good.
First two columns said exactly what Andy said on Tuesday, basically.
Yeah, like, and they re-signed. That other guy was a free agent, Johnson, that played over him. Yeah. They re-signed him. They brought him back. And the headline led me to believe, okay, somebody's telling me he still got. And then it didn't.
It got all the way down to like the second column where finally Pete Carroll said that he's such an instinctive player that he can still help a team.
I'm not buying it.
But that was the extent of it.
Right. There was no glowing praise of Adrian Wilson.
He's got a lot of experience and he knows how to play.
And I'm telling you, he used to be real good.
That's basically
all
he said.
No one's willing to tell me he's still good. And what I saw from a couple games, I have my doubts. I'm concerned about that.
Okay.
Well, I mean, the good news is they're, you know, based on that, we didn't have many of those numbers, I don't think, when we talked.
Oh, no, it's no risk.
Really. 3 years, $5 million.
Yeah, $1 million, if you cut them, you lose $1 million.
Yeah.
Right.
We lost more than that in Finene and
all
those
we
guys.
Lit more than that on fire the Tully Bantakane offseason.
Right.
I mean, as it stands right now, if he's a bust, you've got the same, you've got McCourty and Gregory, same as last year.
And he won't be a bust. And I'm guessing he'll play more than like Sean Ellis did. He'll be a rotational guy, whether he's at the money, you know, goal line linebacker, various roles. And you hope he helps Tavon Wilson and shares some of that intellect.
Devil's advocate, to be fair, people thought Rodney Harrison was washed up and done when he was let go by San Diego.
Yeah, but
he was hurt.
That's because he was hurt.
It was an injury related. This guy hasn't been hurt at all. Just looks like he's
okay. I'm just lost like I said. I'm just trying to.
The thing that really scared
other point of view.
How old was Harrison when he came here? When he came here, he was like just 30, right?
I said, it was an injury
because he played another 5 years.
It was an injury situation. He had torn his groin, and people didn't know if he could come back from that.
Plus, he stopped in Orlando on the way.
He's just not playing.
Hope Adrian will. Well,
and it's almost like
he's already been to Orlando.
You know, we.
What are you babbling about over there? He's just babbling.
Things that he doesn't want to say out loud.
He's talking about HGH. Yeah. he only speaks with what he knows.
Okay, what?
Nothing.
Well done. I could use some HGH in my ankle or something.
Not getting any better, huh?
Really? Anyway.
But you know we always joke about Belichick and how his defense seems to be a little bit behind, you know, the times. You know, it's a passing league and all that. Well, now we're taking it a step further. We're acquiring a safety who gets taken off the field in passing situations. Right. I mean,
but Bill knows how to use people. Nobody puts players in better position to succeed than Bill Belichick.
But I wonder, like, if he could be that guy that steps up to the line and, you know, harasses a guy off the line, kind of the way teams handle our receivers. Yeah,
well, why didn't Arizona use him?
I don't know. Maybe their defensive coordinator isn't as smart.
And early in the year, they did.
Certainly had a lot better defense than the Patriots.
It's not even just why didn't they, it's why did they stop? Like, his playing time decreased. He was kind of an every down player early in the year, and then they stopped. So they saw something that led them
to
less
playing time.
They saw
him as a detriment in pass coverage.
Yeah.
Whatever way you want to employ him, they saw him as this other guy, Rashad Johnson, was a better alternative. And I haven't, you know, listen, besides from the game that we saw, that the Cardinals played. I didn't watch the Arizona Cardinals a lot last year. But the people that were reading about it, that writing about it, said that Kerry Rhodes had a better year. And I thought Kerry Rhodes was done when he left the Jets and went to Arizona.
And Kerry Rhodes played every down for them. Almost every game, 100% playing.
And I thought he was done. I still think he's done. I don't, you know, he wasn't the player when he left the Jets that he was earlier in his career. He was a guy that sort of bothered the Patriots a little bit earlier in his career with New York. And they thought that Kerry Rhodes was much better than Adrian Wilson last year. And I love Adrian Wilson, by the way.
And by the way, the person who most poo-pooed the idea of comparing him to Rodney Harrison was Bill Belichick.
Oh, yeah.
Called Harrison one of the greatest players to ever play here. So clearly he was saying, ease off on the Adrian Wilson-Harrison comparison.
Hey, that kind of right. Not just to play here, but to play in the league at that position.
Yeah, see, that's the one thing where I think Adrian Wilson, at his best, was better than Rodney Harrison.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I wouldn't tell Rodney that, but...
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. The Tuck rule is no more. It is gone, probably for good, you know, for the better. I mean,
what, 29 teams voted for that measure. One team, Pittsburgh, voted to keep it as is, and New England and Washington abstained.
Right.
Should we call that Eric-ing it?
What?
Forget it. I don't know.
That's an abstinence joke. If we were clever.
It's not by choice.
He gets all defensive once he realizes what I'm talking about.
I choose not to run. If we were clever and creative, we'd put something together on the website, you know, some kind of spoof of, you know, like the death of the Tuck rule. And fondly remembering that and have, like, players give that, you know.
Well, the Raiders tweeted out, adios, Tuck rule, and I added, thank you for your service.
Yes, I saw that.
It's not retroactive,
but, you know,
as,
like,
Jeff Fisher
said. If we had the ability to get, like, the players to do stuff for us, like, you know, we'd have, like, Tom Brady said, you know, I never forget the first time, you know, I met the Tuck rule.
Right.
You know, I mean, like, yeah, you
like
know,
a main event.
Like, you eulogize.
A main event.
Yeah, a funny main event.
That would be funny. Yeah.
You know what I didn't care for? One of the articles I read said, the Tuck rule, which kept the Raiders from going to a Super Bowl. No, it kept them from going to an AFC title
game.
There
are small phrases like that that drive me crazy.
They had to win the AFC title game.
I have another one. The Titans, when they lost to the Rams, they came 1 yard away from winning the Super Bowl. How many points did they lose the game by?
I don't know.
Seven.
They would have gone for two. Could you go for two back then?
But you know what Paul's saying.
You could go for two,
forget.
Sure. But they didn't. I mean, no matter how you slice it up, they didn't come 1 yard away from winning the Super Bowl.
So that would have been even better.
They came 1 yard away from tying the Super Bowl.
That would have been a great end to a Super Bowl if they go for two there.
Oh yeah,
yeah, awesome. But you know what I'm saying? It's just
probably
like these little phrases
two, huh?
That you know
probably would have tied it.
1 yard away,
and that becomes
they probably would have kicked.
You got to have big cojones to go for two there.
Yeah, here comes Jeff Fisher. Yeah.
One ball at a time up on the table.
wow, do we spiral out of control?
Now, but this helmet rule is a whole different thing. This,
controversial.
This one I don't think was as, agreed upon.
Well, it was.
Well,
it was more agreed upon.
It was 31-1 Cincinnati.
I know the voting was, but
that's because you probably didn't understand
Public, as far as public perception, I don't think this is anywhere near as agreed upon as the Tuck one.
Well, it was funny because there was very little scuttlebutt about the crown of the helmet rule, but what little there was that this could be a really touch and go, could go either way, and then it was overwhelmingly voted for approval.
Yeah.
So
also said they were doing speed voting. What happened there?
I.
Yeah, that's what it made it sound like.
Well, I think like a lot of the owners wanted to take off early, so like maybe they cast their ballots.
So
they had to get rid of that guy.
Decisions, and we're like, yes, let's get
that guy
here.
That filibuster for like 3 days a couple weeks ago. Right. They couldn't get him to come.
Rand Paul.
It's kind of a big rule. And well, I know everybody poo-poos it, but their research said they did week 16 or week 17, and it was five would have been flagged in 1 week of games.
And it's
I think that's a decent amount.
To be clear, it's
no. I heard that they had 35 plays that they looked at, and of those plays, five of them would have been flagged. Yeah. Not from 1 week.
1 week of games really? Led to five flags. I just read the transcript of their meeting.
I spent the day on the side of 128.
Well, Karen Garishian didn't say, because I heard her talk about it.
It was wrong.
Oh, no, not Karen Garishian, the blonde from ESPN. What's her name? With the bug eyes.
Andrea Kramer?
Andrea Kramer. Yeah.
She doesn't work in
ESPN. Work for ESPN.
Where does she work?
NBC,
I think. Yeah.
Yeah, she said it. That.
Well, where did you see her?
No, it was on. It was on the web, where she was explaining. She
well, that's
like,
your problem. You can't believe anything you see on the
you
web.
You know, like they looked at 35 plays and only five of them would have been flagged.
No, I just read five plays in whatever week. It was one of the last 2 weeks last year. It was 16 or 17. It would have been five penalties in 16 games.
Well, then that's a lot more than what.
I also heard the number 1 in 400 carries.
Well, Jeff Fisher has been going around explaining it because he's on the competition committee. He said it's going to be a very rare call.
Well, because
but if that's 5 in 1 week, then that's not going
to
be rare.
It's, right. It's to be so that people know if they haven't read the language, it's outside the tackle box where this applies.
Right.
So, or more than 3 yards downfield.
Or more than 3 yards downfield from the line of scrimmage. Yeah. Because I don't want people to think that just any old play, if you lower your helmet, you're going to get flagged.
Right.
You know,
but even then, lowering your helmet isn't going to necessarily
right.
be a flag.
Exactly.
That's the
you
part
have
to
use
exactly.
the crown of your helmet.
Because I was so adamantly against it
outside
when I first heard
the tackle
it.
Box beyond 3 yards.
So, I still don't really get it. Kind of feel like Ralph Wilson on this.
I think
there's
it's
going to
be one of those things
area.
That you're going to know it when you see it.
Yeah, it seems right. to be like if there's a runner out in the open field, like, you know, kicks it out to the flat or something, and there's just, a cornerback who's
right,
half
lower.
His size and you lower your head on him, that's going to get flagged.
I think Adrian Peterson is a guy who.
Who was going to probably get a lot of
those. Might be affected by
well, they're calling it the Trent Richardson rule.
Okay, I haven't
apparently
seen
they
of him.
Actually were using some video of Trent, and they said Trent didn't have to do this here, and they were like, "Sure, I didn't see it."
I love the running backs too, and like I said, when I first heard it, I was up in arms, just like Andy is probably still now. But when I sort of when I read about the Ridley play last year would not be a penalty on Ridley, I sort of said, "Okay, all right, they're not being over
that.
The top
Why not?
Ridiculous."
Because what I read. Described plays like that, it said it was going to be offsetting penalties if they both lowered their helmets.
Well, I think that they're talking about a specific thing where you lower your head specifically to hit with your head, as opposed to lowering your shoulders and head to protect yourself.
Well, that's all the coaches are saying.
Like I said, I think you know it when you see it.
I don't think I will, and I don't think those officials will.
I think if you look at some runs from Adrian Peterson, and you go back and look at some NFL films things, and there was a run I told you about on Tuesday, the Earl Campbell run against the Rams where he hits the guy from the Rams right in the chest. He's completely
right.
He's obviously trying to hit a guy with the crown of his helmet.
Right.
I think that's going to be a penalty. I don't think that was Ridley's intent.
But how did they get
on that play?
5 in 1 week.
Yeah, well, I don't know about
that.
That
seems like a lot.
I don't know
me.
About that data. Like, I don't know.
I
agree with your data there, Andy.
I agree with
your
the
premise,
Campbell
commissioner.
One. That Campbell one is the most violent thing you'll
and
ever
I
see.
And I think that's the kind. And again,
but there weren't five of those in week 16.
Yeah, well, I don't
there was
know.
Was one of those in the history of my life.
I don't. You maybe we got some.
The Trent Richardson
crossed. Maybe
one,
there was
I
bad
saw that film. And
Andy, maybe there's some bad reporting that someone wrote that and you're reading it and someone
no,
screwed
no, no,
it all
no,
up.
No, no, no. This was the transcript. These were the words of either. It was the members of the competition committee. He said five in week 16.
Yeah, maybe. But what I'm saying is someone might have screwed up that data. It might not have been five in week 16 or something like that.
I mean,
it might have been.
Andrea Kramer then had it way wrong. Because she was emphasizing how rare this would have been.
I'm going to go to it right now.
No, I believe
screw
that
you monkeys,
Andy. I am not doubting that you.
You are. This,
you
you're
read
saying
it.
You're
I'm
not.
Doubting. I'm doubting that
but
there were
Willie
five
McGinnis
penalties.
Said, you don't really mean.
No. I'll tell you what I don't believe. I don't believe there were five penalties
incorrect?
That would have been called.
Huh?
Well, it was also a terrible transcript because they didn't include questions. It just had answers.
Right.
So he would say yes, offsetting.
It's getting worse and worse.
Like I need to know the question.
Well, I saw the Trent Richardson video, and he lowers his head, and he pops this guy from I forget who it was, and
it was
the guy's helmet shoots off, you know, like a cannon, and so it was very dramatic. But I mean, I'm sure if you ask Trent Richardson, he wouldn't tell you. Oh yeah, I was using my head as a battering ram. He was just lowering his head.
And well, I like the responses. Like Matt Forte had some tweets where my lower the boom fund. Or so I'm going to go put some money in a fund right now. I'm going to call it my lower the boom fund.
Right. But I'll tell you,
they're such babies.
It's
they really.
It's,
you see,
that's why I agree with them.
One of the running backs said, "What are you going to take away next? The stiff arm? You know, like come on." Yeah.
But I'll tell you, that is more dangerous to the runner to run like that than it is to the tackler. Because when your head's down like that, I mean, so many things can happen to your vertebrae, you know, to your,
certainly.
It's just dangerous to run like that.
But the other part that confused me, and again, you're telling me I shouldn't read this transcript, was a phrase that said, "We're not trying to take away helmet hits." And I was like, wait, what? I mean, isn't that the goal?
That's exactly what you're trying to take away.
And he said, we're just trying to take away. I'm going to the transcript now, but I think it's a very confusing issue. And the trouble with these, when they make these dramatic rules changes, whether it's in the grasp or, you know, hits to the quarterback or in baseball, box, sometimes you end up with a year that's just ridiculous. I mean, do you remember when the balk rule and they were going to enforce it and there was like a balk every other pitch in Major League Baseball?
Yeah.
I'm worried that guys don't know how to call it.
You
and
gotta
that's
have,
because there's guys like me and you that do the umpire, and they're like, all right, wait,
you want me to call it? I'll call it.
Balk!
He hit him with his helmet.
You got to have a bunch of examples. This is, this isn't. This is, this isn't. And the more you can have, the better. You know, but I've seen the Trent Richardson thing, but I'd like to see some more examples now, of ones that would be called.
Now, Freddie, on that Trent Richardson one that you saw, do you agree that there should be something done about that play? Because I don't know the play you're talking about. I see Flash behind you is nodding his head yes.
Yeah, I guess
did you
so.
Think it was like an overly violent play that he didn't need to do?
If you look at his eyes were looking down on the ground.
No, but you know, what I'm saying is, to me, if you lower your shoulders, Andy said this the other day about when you're running, you're lowering your shoulders, your head has to go down too. You can't lower your shoulders without your head going with it.
Right.
You're taught to be low. Stay as low as you can.
Get small.
Get small and try to deliver a blow. Is that, I mean, is he running with his head down and he ends up hitting the guy with his helmet? Or is he running with the intention of trying to hit a guy with his helmet?
I have no idea. It's hard to tell. I mean, this is one where there was no movement or trying to angle. He definitely did just lower his helmet and go straight at the guy.
It will be interesting. You know, I don't think you're going to see a ton of these penalties called.
Yeah, I really don't either.
Okay. I have it from Blandino. I don't know who that is, but he's a member of the competition or rules or something. We went through all of Week 16 last year looking for these types of plays. We pulled about 34 plays where we had helmet-to-helmet contact out in space, and of those 34, we identified 5 in which the rule would have captured.
Okay.
This rule would have captured 5 in 16 games.
So that's not rare.
No, I don't
think
it is.
No,
that's rare. That's like helmet-to-helmet hits in the secondary.
Right.
You see about 5 of those a week.
Or hit on a quarterback or whatever.
You see 5 of those
it's
a week
be as
around
common
the league.
Yeah,
so
which seems like you see one every game. Because
almost,
we bitch about the receiver ones and we bitch about the quarterback ones, we're going to be bitching virtually every week about one of these calls.
The idea that Jeff Fisher is out there talking about that this is going to be very judicious and very rare is not true if that's the case.
I mean,
if
basically,
have 5 in 1
week. If you see him 5 a week, I think that's a decent amount. I agree with you guys. I think that's a decent amount.
Yeah.
And of the 5, my guess is not all of them are going to be Earl Campbell.
No.
Most of them are going to be, well, you see, and it was this and it was that, and you're talking about it.
I'm even worried about it when I just asked Fred how he would describe the Trent Richardson play, and he really didn't know how he would describe it.
Richardson has gone on the record now saying, like, blaming
himself.
He's
not going to play football anymore?
Well, blaming himself for this rule. He spoke to the spoke to the Plain Dealer, the Cleveland Plain Dealer, and said, I feel like I made it bad for all the backs. I feel like it's my fault. People keep telling me it's a T-Rich rule. I guess I made history today.
But is he saying that that's what he was trying to do? Does he take, I mean.
No, he feels bad for the rule.
Like, what was his intent on the play? Does he address that at all?
That's one of those, I'm sorry if I offended anybody.
His intent wasn't to hurt anybody.
But was it
his intent was to run him the bleep over.
But was his intent to use the crown of his helmet as a weapon?
Probably.
Then,
I used to use mine.
You shouldn't do that.
I used to use mine in high school.
You know what, Andy?
As an undersized linebacker, I'll tell you, all the guards were always taller than me. I realized early on that one way to sort of disengage from them was to put my helmet under their chin.
Right.
It worked very well, and I did it a lot.
Yeah. He said it wasn't his intent.
I find that interesting.
He says, quote, it just happened. It was me and him, and he was trying to hit me. It just comes natural. When you lower your shoulder, your head comes down with it. I'm not trying to harm no other player.
And I agree with him.
And what made that play look so dramatic was the guy's helmet shot off his head.
You know what? I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to our video presentation.
Oh, yeah.
In the summer.
And then the bad questions.
Well,
first of all, thanks for the tuck rule.
Oh, can you bring the tuck rule back? We'll be this year.
That's Steve Burton.
Check.
But I'm looking forward to listen to how they explain that.
And if we get an honest one who goes, I don't know.
Exactly.
We're going to learn,
I always find it interesting how you can so understand the reluctance on the officials themselves on different things that they try to legislate. I don't know what we're going to have to do on this one, you know.
And what is a ball carrier? Because, and this is a serious question, if a receiver catches
I didn't do what you would have done to me if I had said the same thing.
And simply turns, and because we see receivers do that, lower their head upon turning. Is he a ball carrier, or is he still a defenseless receiver? Is it a one-way foul? Is it a two, like, does he have to take X number of steps to then be a ball carrier? Because I haven't seen that anywhere.
I really think they should just say players are forbidden to use their helmet as a weapon, period, and leave it in the hands of the refs to judge whether or not
I'm sorry, I still go back to that's even too much. Well, unnecessary roughness.
Yeah.
You know it when you see it. Earl Campbell was unnecessarily rough with that man.
Okay, but use it as a but say that using the helmet is included in unnecessary.
But it always has been. You're not allowed to hit with your helmet.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
Spearing. You're not allowed to hit with the crown of your helmet in any way, anyhow, any type. Yeah. But you have been allowed to at all levels. Yeah. I probably should have been penalized for using my helmet as a weapon.
Yeah.
But it works.
Well, you should have been penalized just for the size of your head to begin with.
I was at a disadvantage. I was short.
Yeah. You're at an advantage, though. Your head was the size of...
My head was at the right height.
They have the weight rule, weight restrictions for peewee leagues.
Head size.
Head sizes, right. Too.
But I do find Andy saying that he did that consciously at some level in high school. I find that very interesting because think about how much grander the scale is for NFL players that have been searching and experimenting with different things to find an edge or find a way to succeed. You know, I mean, no offense. I mean, you're talking about high school football.
No, I know.
As opposed to the NFL, where guys have gone through high levels of college. Yeah. And, you figure out, hey, I'm London Fletcher and I'm five whatever and I'm going to play 15 years. How do I do this? Well, there's probably things like that that you have to do.
That chin is a vulnerable spot on any player, and you're taught to get underneath for the leverage, but also so you can come up on the guy.
See, that's why I'm calling a little bit of bullcrap on, the indignation of some, I don't mean to put my helmet down. Well, I think in some cases you do.
Yeah.
I think that there are things that you can do that you're conscious of. And I'm not saying everyone, and I do agree. Sounds like it's going to be a hard thing to legislate. Everybody sort of agrees on that.
The only thing I do like about it is it's a step toward defense getting some protection.
Yeah,
that's the only thing.
I figured you'd like.
I hate the rule specifically, but I like the idea that okay, now the defense has something sort of helping them out, so they're not just being battered by these.
And that
ramps.
Was one of the arguments.
Yeah. I still have problems, because everybody we're trying to bring the shoulder back into it. Well, okay, I love your theory. That's a great theory on tackling, on running, on everything. But now, when you are moving at, these guys that are running 4.6s, you got a safety who runs a 4.6, meaning a running back who's running a 4.6, and they're lowering their helmet. And now, which side are they sliding to? Oop! They both picked the same side. Now we just had helmet to helmet.
Right.
There's no intent there, and I still get back to the bottom line. It's a violent sport. It just is at nature.
It is, but I think that as long as you can tell people and. I'm with Paul. All these guys saying, "Oh, what are they going to do next? Take away the stiff arm?" Those guys,
it's just so
ridiculous.
Forget
that nonsense.
No, but
you can play violent football without.
But I think everyone's.
But the violence the running back has is lowering his head and trying to run somebody over.
What about the guys that use the shoulder and forearm? That's not legislated out of the game.
No, but it's also.
Walter Payton used to destroy people with that.
No, and you can. Just like the stiff arm, but this is something you can use anytime. No, this is something you can use anywhere, anytime. All those other things, a stiff arm is in a certain position. The flipper is a certain. Going down, getting small, lowering your head is something you can use between the guard, between a linebacker and a corner, between a safety and a corner. And now they're saying if you do that and it's deemed that you are using the top of your head to initiate contact, that's a penalty. And I don't love it.
Yeah, I'm going to reserve a little judgment before I see sort of the video.
Me too.
But I agree.
I'm not worried about the Earl Campbell. I'm worried about the five in a week.
But for all those people that are saying, you're going to the league has no choice. They have to do this.
Why?
Because
Goodell did push it through, apparently. He made it very obvious he wanted this passed. So I'm not surprised they got some speed voting in it passed.
I'm not sure about the wording and how it's going to, but they have to take every measure they reasonably can to eliminate this using of the helmet and the head as a weapon.
Why?
Because if they don't, the game is in 30, 40 years, we could see the end of football.
Well, you could see the end of football in 30, 40 years.
We've been saying
way.
That, though, we've been arguing that on this show for the last couple of years.
I continue to argue the lawsuits
and I think it's
have
legitimate.
Nothing to do with people getting hit in the head. The lawsuits have something to do with the league not being totally honest with any information it had about people who get hit in the head.
You're right. I'm talking about parents saying you're not playing football.
Yeah,
well,
I think
well,
that's
you know
legitimate.
I think if everybody could just do legitimate research and be open and honest with everything, parents and students could make educated decisions.
But in the meantime...
So Junior Seau, did you take steroids?
But in
yes
the,
or no?
In the meantime, if you can take measures to address it, you kind of have to.
Well, then you've changed the game. As long as you're comfortable changing the game dramatically.
Yeah.
But until somebody tells me what the ramifications of 25 years of steroid use, 25 years of painkiller use, 25 years of head blows, that's in there. That's part of the cocktail. But tell me, if I just have the head blows but don't do steroids and don't take a ton of painkillers and Toradol, what happens? What happens if I do two of the three? What happens if I just do steroids and don't have a ton of concussions? You know, I think there's chances that you find out, whoa, 25 years of messing with the chemistry of your body and your brain,
oh,
that has an effect.
No,
I think you might kill yourself.
I think that's going to be impossible to find out because I think it's going to be impossible to find anybody who had only one or two of those three in the cocktail.
And because no one wants to find out.
Well,
because if you find out,
look
you've
what they
ruined
did,
your league.
Look what they did with Junior. They protected Junior. As soon as they started talking about that and sniffing around, the NFL went into a full cocoon mode.
Right.
And they protected him.
And that, so you're not being honest. You're back to where you are again with the concussions that got you in trouble in the first place. You're not being totally open and honest.
Well, you have to be. That's the point.
But they're not. Because no one, they're not, they're going simply down the road of head. Head traumas and all this,
yeah,
you know.
Everything, I mean, head trauma is being blamed on everything now, Fred.
I mean, roid rage comes from your brain. And roid rage, we've been taught in high school health classes for 25 years, right?
Right, but the league can make the argument right now, to your point, we're doing everything we can to try to test, you know, the NFLPA is up against this, but they could go into a court of law and saying, we're trying to mm-hmm. eliminate these performance enhancing drugs. We're trying to do it.
And the judge can go, BS.
Well, they could.
Because I would.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily fault them. I think it's a tough situation because, as you said, you're taking steps. Whichever one of these roads you go down, you could be taking a step towards your league has peaked, you're going down, parents don't let people play, your talent pool is shrunk, your money down the road could all of that. So I'm not saying it's an easy situation to deal with, but I just think the litigation isn't just based on head injuries. Everybody knows there's head injuries. Everybody knows football is violent and could leave me. Yeah. It's based on,
oh, yeah.
Did
right.
you do the best you could to tell me what could happen, protect
right.
me with what could happen? And I don't think the answer
that's,
to that is yes.
Oh, you're absolutely
that's the
you're
legality.
You're 100% right on that suit. You're 100% right. But now the same question has to be asked. Are you doing 100% in your power to make this game as safe as you can reasonably?
Yes.
And part of that is this whole crown of the helmet thing.
Well,
you have to be clear. And, you know, I think.
Okay, so Jeff Fisher, I put him on the stand. Was the intent to remove head hits from this? No. Well, you should. That would be the best way to remove head injuries.
I think what he means by that, it's impossible to.
But nothing's impossible. They used to block with their forearms and you weren't allowed to hit.
No, but you still had people colliding with their heads.
No, you didn't, because you had to block with your forearms.
Andy,
all those million blows
through the history of football, even before helmets. That the reason why they had helmets is because people were cracking their skulls.
But you can eliminate it. There are ways you can eliminate it.
You can.
You're just deciding how far you want to go before you do that.
I don't think in a sport like this you can eliminate guys' heads coming together.
I agree. Now we're at the root of the point.
But
you can't eliminate it.
But you can try to eliminate guys doing it on purpose.
Yeah, I don't think
that's the point.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the whole thing is. They're not saying we're going to eliminate guys' heads coming together. We are going to try to legislate guys doing it on purpose as a weapon. That's it. That's all they're trying to do right now.
Yeah.
It's hard because you get into intent, and that's hard to officiate, but that's the point.
I just don't think anyone was going to file a lawsuit that said Adrian Peterson lowered his head on me.
No, but it's a generational thing. You know, it starts with the pros, but it's as you grow up, you grew up saying, I'm going to get my helmet on there and use it as a weapon.
Well, I didn't really say it. I just did it.
But in high school, if they said, don't do that,
and they did. And I said, I know, but it works.
They never told you not to do that.
Oh, God, yes.
They told me not to do that. I played 10 years before him.
Oh, God,
what?
Yes. Use my
don't
head.
Lead your head with your helmet.
No, leave with but
slide it to a side.
Put it to the side.
Use your
see
hands.
What you can
disengage
hit.
No, all of it.
Make sure you only hit what you can
but
see.
But no one ever told you when you're underneath, you know, don't slide up and hit
I think
him in
they
the
actually
chin.
Did. And I said, yeah,
no one ever
try
told me.
To. Well, you're a lot older than I am. Well, they barely had helmets then. But yes, I was coached.
That
the
was
right
a
way.
Big thing when I was even little.
But there's a big difference between what works and if it works, and I've never been flagged for it, why not? Right? I mean, all your when you're doing a when you're in the midst of a play, you're just your goal is to win the play.
But if the ref is looking at it because of an emphasis, you will be flagged. And maybe that will deter you
but
from
that's
doing
never
it again.
Happen.
I don't know.
Unless you go back to blocking with forearms and you're not allowed to hit helmets at all and that. You just can't. It's not going to happen.
A little bit of a different same topic here with the rule changes and stuff, but off of this particular area. I asked Fred this yesterday and we were kind of talking about it. Curious to see what you guys think. The whole voting process, you know, the teams vote, you know. Mm. Cincinnati voted no on this.
Right.
Who do you think votes for us? Like, how do you think the process works? I mean, obviously, Robert is responsible for issuing whatever our stance is, but what do you think the process is?
You mean who actually does the casting?
Yeah, does Bill talk
no,
to
no,
Robert
no.
and
who
say,
decides?
You know, it's football. Like, you know, how do we decide that we say yay on this.
Because Bill probably would have voted nay.
Well, clearly, that's kind of what I was getting at. Was Bill was he wasn't like strong like he was with the kickoff thing a couple years ago. But you could certainly understand him and Tomlin and some other guys when Eric was telling us about the league meetings that they were really reluctant to have something like this. They felt like it was going to be difficult to legislate in such a gray area. Didn't seem like Bill was on board, right?
No, exactly right. And I think we can maybe answer that question by saying there's sort of a misnomer for this meeting that people call it the owners' meetings. When it's technically it's called the NFL's annual meeting. So I think if you want to read anything into that, I think it's the owners who are there making most of the decisions. That's just my guess based on, you know, the way this meeting has become termed as the owners' meeting. I think they're the ones who are making
certain,
the decisions.
I think there's certain issues like this one where the commissioner says to the owners, we got to pass this. Mm. I don't care what your coaches say. We've got to pass this.
Right.
And for legal reasons, in the future of the game, we have. So you can talk to your coaches all you want, but I'm telling you as commissioner, I need your vote. You know,
yeah, I think Goodell passed this.
Oh, yeah.
That's the vibe you got.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it was very clear he wanted it to pass, and one day they're saying we need one more voter, and then it's almost unanimous.
Yeah, I have no doubt that you guys are right, that on this particular vote, Goodell was the driving force. My question, I guess, is just, is there a back and forth between Bill and Robert or Jonathan or whoever else? And how much is it?
Yeah,
how
I think
important
it depends
it?
On the issue.
You know,
yeah.
And how important is it? I'm just kind of curious the process.
That's a good question.
And Fred and I were talking about it on Tuesday. We didn't really have an answer for it, and I'm sure that we won't really find out.
Right.
And I don't think that's something Bill's going to want to talk about.
Good start to the show. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, a lot of your emails. We have Orlando holding on the Ace Ticket Hotline. We'll get to him right after this.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Now's the time to take advantage of our low-price value games. Whether it's the Boston Bruins, Boston Celtics, or Boston Red Sox, Ace has the tickets you need, starting at just $19. Ace always has the best seats at the best prices, and all our tickets come with a 200% money-back guarantee. Ace has free and easy pickup by Fenway Park or across from the Garden. So treat yourself for someone special. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We all know that Andy is the bully of PFW in Progress. He can dish it out, but can he take it?
Trying to read the email here. Guy's pulling an all-nighter so that he can email during the show, and Andy's disrespecting.
No, that's not my fault. It's you.
That's your fault.
You're the one who picks and chooses the emails.
That's your fault.
Shut up.
Typical big head. He's never wrong, and nothing's ever his fault.
You're the one who chooses
the
email.
That's not my fault. It's not my fault that I'm talking while you're talking.
Don't have a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Leave it to Fred to put Andy in his place.
No, when someone's talking, you have to shut up.
Now, back to PFW in Progress.
He's going to kill him today.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. We get a lot of emails. We're going to get to as many as we can. Let's first go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, because it's sponsored. Orlando's in Springfield. Hey, Orlando.
Hey, guys. How's the day going?
Good.
Hey, listen, guys. I had a question. One, I know we talked a little bit about Shane Vereen yesterday. I wanted to know what you guys thought. Actually, I had a couple questions. Let me start with Vereen. I know now that Woodhead is gone, I guess Vereen's going to take his snaps. Do you guys envision him basically just taking over only Woodhead's snaps? Because Woodhead, I think he got in about, like, I read somewhere, like 35% of the snaps. Do you see him just filling that role, or do you see him expanding a little bit, maybe taking more of Ridley's carries?
Yeah, I think it won't be a one-to-one replacement. I think you'll see them try to do more things with Vereen because he can do more things and faster. So,
but as you think he would take away from Ridley's carries?
A little bit. A little bit.
In between the tackles,
I mean,
and
he
such?
He might take away a pass that you would throw to Edelman. You know, I think it all depends on the situation, but I think we saw last year that they, you know, tried to do some more things with Vereen toward the end of the season that you may not have done with Woodhead.
In the passing game, maybe.
Well, but, that's what I'm talking about.
But
yeah.
I think Orlando's asking about the running game specifically.
I think you could see.
Well, yeah, but Danny wasn't just the running game. He was, you know, as involved in the passing game as he was the running game at times.
I get that. I'm saying Orlando's point is about the running game specifically.
Yes.
Will he take away from Ridley?
Sure. The answer is he could.
Yeah.
And I'm all for it. You won't get an argument from me.
I think he could, and I think he could also take away some of Bolden's carries as Ridley's backup. I think they might look at Ridley as more versatile and whatever way I think Vereen's going to have more carries, sheer carries, than Woodhead did.
And I guarantee you somebody's going to get hurt. So, you know, all this thing. Well, how are they going to do with all these running backs? They always seem to find a way to use them all for one reason or another.
All right. Wow. Hey, guys, listen, the other question I had, this is a little bit out of left field, but I was recently watching the show that I guess NFL Network has where they follow the Browns, you know, on the road and all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. And obviously, God forbid, what do you know if the NFL has any contingency plans, like in case, like, let's say a team is, you know, flying out to Oakland and the plane crashes and, you know, the whole team is killed, a la, you know, Marshall. Do you know if the NFL has contingency plans? Like, you know, what would they do? You know, how would, you know, what would happen to the team? You know, you know, all the other, like, logistics of what would happen if they, you know, if a tragedy happened and they lost an entire NFL
team. I'm sure they do have a plan, but.
Thanks for that, Orlando.
Yeah.
Appreciate
it. No problem.
But, you know, it would probably involve just changing the schedule completely because it's not like the team can scramble and field another team.
And I'm not sure they really have a plan.
Right.
I mean, maybe they have, like, worst-case scenario pages in some book somewhere, but that's something you don't plan for. You have to react as it happens.
Right.
I mean,
right. But it's not without precedent. We've seen sports teams that happen, too. So.
Yeah, but it's like almost.
Right.
Don't jinx it, please, for the love of God.
That's
got
to be in response to the college cross team that just had their bus crash.
The Seton Hall women's team? Yeah,
Seton Hill.
I heard the Harlem Globetrotters got into a bus crash in Marlboro.
It's amazing how many bus crashes that you've seen lately.
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to put buses with, like, those small planes. No, I'm not getting on one. Maybe it's just because there's so many of them, and, like, you know, all the New England, you know, I was in Tufts. You took a bus to all the games.
Well, I laugh. We drove ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
We got in those, you know, the oversized vans. We got, like, two or three of them for a game, and we drove ourselves. I can't even imagine.
But it's like the buses are worse. It's like these drivers that are professional aren't good.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think it's the buses. I think it's the drivers.
Oh, yeah, I mean the drivers.
No, it's not the vehicle itself.
Well, some of them probably are.
We
They're
take
probably
a lot of buses,
not maintained
Fred.
Properly. They're probably you guys
got a
wheel
take a lot
fall
of buses.
Off.
Yeah.
Wheels aren't supposed to fall off.
Right.
That's
if
true,
it's maintained
too.
Properly.
You know, you're right. I mean, we've had a couple of
we
incidents.
We had a crash.
We've had a crash. You guys had that issue with the wheel this year.
Yep.
We had at least one breakdown.
Oh, we've had more than that. There was one season or something, and they stopped.
The Pittsburgh playoff game.
We couldn't get up the hill, remember?
We had to go from the airport to the hotel in one gear.
Yeah.
It took us forever.
Now, again, I know there's millions of these buses out there every day for every college, high school, band, sport, everything, but it just seems like it's more dangerous, and that these guys, it's always like a lot of them seems like they take a curve too fast, or it's like some of it is avoidable.
Avoidable. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, I don't like that rule, man, because if you look to Mike and Michael ESPN2, it's showing the preview. Like the Richardson hit. Richardson is surrounded by three Eagles coming dead at him. I mean, from all angles. The safety is in front of him, so he has to get small, and they pull him to form. So that's a bad rule. And if Ridley was to break a 40-yard run, and between him and the goal line, there's two safeties coming at an angle. They expect him to take an angle and just try to get an end zone. That's a bunch of bull. Because it ain't only for running backs, it's for all ball carries.
Right.
With receivers, quarterbacks, outside the tackle box. If you lower his head to get in the end zone, that's not a touchdown. That could be the winning drive right there. They have to take a step back and give you 15 yards from that spot. That's a bunch of bull.
Yeah, I have to see the Richardson play, but the play you're describing for Ridley doesn't sound like it would be a penalty. if you're in the clear and you're running and guys have got the angle on you and you lower your head, that's not what they're talking about.
They're saying outside the tackle box.
But it's not every time you lower your head outside the tackle box. They've already said that the play that Ridley lowered his head on last year in the AFC Championship game would not have been a penalty. He was outside the tackle box.
Yeah, I still don't get that one.
That was an 8-yard run outside the tackles.
To me, that one should be what they've said is it'll be a double penalty, you know, a replay the down, offsetting penalties. So I still don't know what is. Well, like you said, I need to see videos of this is.
That's what I need.
About 30 of them each way.
I want to see the Richardson play if that's deemed a penalty. I want to see this play that people are talking about.
Then two more things, I'm going to let you go. Why is we signing Coles and Kedavides? I mean, we can't do no better than that.
Oh, you got to sign guys like that every year. Every team is signing those types of guys right now.
You have 90 guys.
Don't go crazy about that, you know.
I mean, you sign rookie free agents. You fill out a 90-man roster. Right. And, you know, don't think it's just for the regular season. I mean, Kudavides is the perfect special teamer slash preseason linebacker. He can go play, you know, quarters 2, 3, and 4
right.
because he's experienced. He can run a defense, you know.
And like
there are all
year,
these roles that you don't even think about.
There's a ton of players in that same pool.
Right.
And you might as well get the guys that you're familiar with because they're all the same.
And they're not taking up any time either. It's not like that, you know, oh, because we're signing Cole and Kudavides, we're missing out on Elvis Dumervil.
We forgot to send that contract to his agent. Only agents do that.
Well, one more thing. In the draft, I hope who is this? Axel Austin. I hope we don't get him because he's not a fighter. He's a deep threat. That's just about it. He's going to fight for the ball. He's not a leaper.
He must really stink. You don't want to get a deep threat?
Is that Tavon Austin?
No. I'm going by Football Nation top 10 wide receivers in the draft.
But I'm just saying a deep threat that you don't want. He must really stink. Who is this?
He does. He won't fight for the ball.
Who are we talking about?
Y'all asked for Terrence Austin Tuesday, I think. Somebody wanted
Tavon Austin?
The West Virginia kid?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of hard for a 5'8" guy to fight for the ball.
He's fast. Okay. Tavon.
Yeah.
But,
by all accounts, he's going to be a top 15 pick now. His stock is just soaring.
I would take Marcus Davis or Robert Woods.
How about Terrence Williams? I can't talk you into a Terrence Williams?
Yeah, I don't love Robert Woods. Woods is a guy I think is going to have.
You're kind of cutting out there. So
I think Robert Woods is the kind of guy who's going to have a solid career. I think, you know, like how Fred always goes with the safe pick? I think Robert Woods is a safe wide receiver. I think he's going to be serviceable. I don't think his upside is that good.
Safe pick. I want Honey Badger.
No. But you know how like you talk about like, well, you take a tackle in the first round. That's a safe pick.
Right.
I think in terms of wide receivers, Robert Woods is going to be, I think he's probably going to have an 8 or 10 year career catching a fair amount of passes and not making a whole lot of big plays while doing it.
He's Brandon Lloyd?
Yeah, maybe.
Let's go to Olivier in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good.
Muy bien, y tú?
Well. It's always on his mind. I was wondering what you guys thought about the fact that, you know, we've interviewed Abrahams and so forth, and now it seems like that same gentleman is going to other teams. Don't we value him, or is he too expensive? And same thing with Reed. How come Reed didn't even come to have one single visit with Bill, you know, since it seems that Bill is in love with him? What happened there?
How do we know that Bill wanted him? I mean, we know Bill loves him, but that doesn't mean he wanted him to join his team now for whatever. You know, I think all of us from afar thought they needed a stronger safety, and that's what Wilson is.
Yeah,
they got a stronger safety. They didn't go for the, you know, playmaking deep safety. So we don't know that they even kicked the tires.
Now, you can make an argument and say you'd rather have Reed, and I think that you can make a good argument for that. But they signed a safety, so I'm not going to kill them for not signing two safeties.
Yeah, that's true.
And, yes, you can read into it that the Patriots weren't offering to Abraham as much as he wanted. If they were offering what he wanted, he'd have signed.
Yeah,
you know, he clearly thinks that he can get more on the open market, but so far he hasn't proven that because he hasn't signed anywhere else.
Right.
I agree. Do you guys think that there is like additional players that are still diamonds in the rough that we haven't seen yet that that Bill is actually trying to contact and perhaps interview? Because I haven't seen that many players coming in. And as we've seen in the past seasons.
That's funny. I thought there were more reported visits this year than previous seasons. Felt like there was a flurry of them there.
Well, last Friday, my head almost just left my shoulders. There was so much going on.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I mean, we usually don't get a lot of reported visits until they sign.
Adrian Wilson, Donald Jones, Emmanuel Sanders supposedly, well, he was definitely here, supposedly signed a restricted free agent tender. Then they said he didn't sign an offer sheet.
Freeney, Abraham.
Freeney, Abraham were here over the weekend. Now, over the weekend, they talked about Doomerville was of interest for the Patriots.
Winston.
Now, Eric Winston today. I feel like it's just been nonstop. And Bill basically said this when Eric was talking to us on Tuesday. He said basically it's going to be another flurry coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's good. That's another wave.
We haven't signed anyone. So
he didn't say necessarily for the Patriots.
No, he just said in general.
I don't want you to get excited, Olivia. He means the league.
He's right, because as these players find out what the offers are, now they go back and they huddle and they decide.
Well, and there's also the mini sort of break with the annual meeting.
Right.
They're doing league business down there. There's not a lot of free agent activity going on over those 3 days.
So do we think Doomerville is a possibility for us, or do you think he's still too expensive?
Because I think I mean, if he's demanding $8 million, I think he's too expensive.
Yeah, he's too expensive. Yeah.
Now, you think he likes Josh McDaniels? I have no idea.
I haven't read anything, but
he had his big year under McDaniels and Mike Nolan. I believe that was the Mike Nolan year in Denver.
Yep.
And so, you know, it's worked for other guys. Yeah. You know, Brandon Lloyd wanted to come here. I don't know if he, you know, liked Josh, wants to be with Josh, but I still think it's very doubtful that he's the one.
Yeah. All right, Olivier.
Before we go, welcome back, Eric. Two, I'd like to buy lunch.
Okay.
Three, I would like to provide an early congratulations to our friend in Naples for his upcoming wedding.
Yes, Anthony.
Anthony. Okay.
Sounds good, guys.
All right.
Talk to you later.
And we'll eat your lunch later.
All right. Yes, Eric's back from Africa. And by the way, if you go to Instagram, and follow Eastgal, you can get all the pictures from Africa that Eric took.
There's some good ones on there.
Straight out Africa.
Was Jackie Britton with you in Africa? Because there's a lot of her pictures
up
there.
What are we talking about?
Pictures?
It's always on his mind.
It is.
You're the one who's bringing up questionable photos.
I brought up male genitalia.
I don't think I did. You said pictures.
I think it's on your mind.
No.
I think it's on your mind.
I did see a lot of...
You should know I got a little wiener.
Watching a little of the first round games of the NCAA tournament, Valpo playing the role of Northeastern right now.
They got 6 points at halftime?
They just got their 15.
And it's almost halftime.
What happened to Northeastern, by the way?
Last four games, same thing.
First,
they went down, what, 20-something, 7 or whatever?
Yeah.
They did it again in the NIT. Did you know that?
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
I thought you were just talking about the...
I think it was like 27-7 or 24-7. Yeah.
And they came back. They got within one, and then they let it happen.
It a respectable girl score.
And they let it happen again. Ridiculous. Well, they were playing without their best player, too.
All right, let's go to the emails. Webradio.
It was like 10 seconds into the telecast. I lost all hope.
Come on.
Brett in Illinois, here is the appropriate section under the player conduct section of the NFL rulebook, Article 6, Unnecessary Roughness. There shall be no unnecessary roughness. This shall include but will not be limited to using any part of a player's helmet, including the top crown and forehead hairline parts, or face mask to butt spear or ram an opponent violently or unnecessarily.
So it's butt spear.
So it's already there, just not called much.
Right.
The above applies to any player, offense or defense. I guess they're just making it more specific to make it easier to officiate.
But yes. Andy, it's the same thing as illegal contact.
Right.
And defensive holding. I mean, it was already there, but they never called it.
Why?
I don't know.
Why do we pick and choose the rules
they want to make sure it's enforced? That's all.
Like you had a stupid rule like the tuck rule that you enforced. You didn't ignore that one. But you have these other rules that you just choose to ignore.
I'm sorry, but that's funny.
Like I don't understand. You have a rule book with written rules.
No, I agree.
So use them.
Yes. Yes.
And it's not just, I mean, all sports are the same. You know, traveling in the NBA, the strike zone in baseball. You know, every sport has all these rules that they choose to ignore. Well, why? Either take the rule out of the book or enforce the rule.
Right.
But I don't get this whole,
I know. Connor in New Hampshire says, I heard about the decision by the owners and I was very disappointed by the decision, particularly in Mr. Kraft for letting the team and the fans down like this. This is not coached. It is human instinct to put your head down to protect yourself. I don't know exactly how this works, but if Robert Kraft can introduce a measure to get rid of this rule at the next meeting in May, I urge him to do so. I agree with Andy. This is a physical game, and you cannot legislate that element out. This is not going to protect players. It will hurt them. If this is not stopped, it will destroy football. If we are serious about saving the game that we love, then we, the fans, must take action. Fans of every team, we know you listen, must tell their team owners that we will not accept this. Finally, on a lighter note,
God bless
I wanted America. To let your get your thoughts on who may replace Gil Santos as the voice of the Patriots next season. We have no idea.
I think Kevin Collins.
I heard that the announcement will be made by 98.5 sometime in April.
and around the time of the schedule.
We've seen the obvious candidates, John Rook, Gary Tangway. What were the other reported candidates?
Nobody important.
John Meter Perel's name was thrown out there. A couple national guys. Ian Eagle?
Really?
Yeah, a couple national guys' names were thrown out there. I don't know.
Let's hope John gets it.
I'm rooting for John, but I like Gary Tangway, too.
Yeah. Let's hope John gets it. That way I don't have to introduce myself to the guy.
Well, I think it'd be good for us if John gets it, because now he's here and we can interact with him more, and you know he has the show. So it'd be cooler for us if John Rook got it, because Tangway's got all the Celtic stuff. He's not part of us. John Rook's part of us.
That's true. It's all true.
That is
just
a
so
fair
you know,
argument.
If you hired Gary Tangway, he'd be part of us.
And there's also
he's still got all the Celtics.
He'd jump on board with both feet so fast your head would spin.
Can he get any more on board? I've never
heard
him. I mean,
you wouldn't have a guy.
He makes
any more
you
loyal.
Look objective.
No, I'm not worried about what he says. I'm talking about involvement here.
So you just want to hang out with
him? I think that if you hired him, you'd get whatever you wanted out of him.
No, he's got his Celtics commitments. He can't do it.
What does Celtics commitments have to do with anything else? John Rook has his college basketball commitments. What does that have to do with his ability to be here for the Patriots?
He's got his studio.
No, but
stuff.
I'm saying the number one priority for either one will be the Patriots. Am I wrong on that?
Maybe.
What do you mean maybe?
Gary Tangway, I'm sure, makes a lot more money doing the Celtics stuff than he will be if he got the Patriots.
And I think he would chop off his right arm for the opportunity to be the Patriots play-by-play guy. Now, I don't know who's better, so I don't care who gets it.
You don't care? You don't have a dog in the fight?
No, because I don't listen to games on the radio. It's not 1962.
He's right.
I think
irrelevant.
I think it's one of the most overblown, over-talked about things. Radio voice of a team.
The only time it's important
name
is three
another
games
one.
To glory is when you have like your call on TV
right.
or whatever
right.
that they always seem to use the radio.
And Monday highlight shows. You know, they always play.
Yeah.
They always
yeah,
use those for the.
But you know what? It's like
because they can't use the network.
It's like inside the media circle. Like we care about like this guy and that guy. Do you think the fans know who the Dallas Cowboy or the San Francisco 49ers radio voice is? No, but when they play that thing that Eric's talking about on Monday, they all say, did you hear me?
No, but I think whenever the Cowboys finally win the Super Bowl, if there's like a play that wins it, they'll care. Like the Johnny Most.
That guy, no, what I'm saying, that guy cares. But does it matter to you if you're a Patriots fan, if you listen to Gil Santos or someone else?
But,
make
Paul,
that call?
I think
you want a good guy. You don't want the guy to suck.
Well, wait a minute. What is, like, a good guy?
Swinging a pop-up. He sucks.
So did that hurt your World Series experience?
No, but you know it sucks.
It didn't affect mine.
But you know it sucks.
You know, the whole thing when he was like, you know, can you believe it? Like, I think Joe Castiglione's one of the worst play-by-play guys I've ever heard. Didn't take away my enjoyment one bit.
No, but you would rather have a better one?
Well, I don't. I don't understand what the difference is. No, it didn't. Wouldn't
but
affect
Paul,
me either.
I'd rather have a better one.
Johnny Most was
when
one of the
I
worst
listen
ever.
To somebody
they won
and
8
I
million
say,
titles.
That guy sucks. I don't want to list it. Like I want somebody that I think is good.
But
I don't. It doesn't make me change the way I feel about the game or the team. But I'm listening to it, so I'd rather have a good one.
And Paul, I get what you're saying about it's not 1962, but we're at every game, or you know, watching on TV, but. For a lot of people, they can't be in front of the TV. They're in their car, whatever. So
not for a lot of people.
The radio is still fairly important.
Sorry,
I think it's
not
mostly
for a
the
lot
people,
people
coming to the game.
You know, if you go to the, for example, the Giants, their guy, I think Bob Papa, he Papa. Doesn't just do, you know, the radio. He does a lot of stuff during the week. He has a show, so he is kind of like, you know, Mr. Giant, you know.
So he's a little more well-known, you're saying, than just adjust a voice of
right. Everybody who's
just like Gil Santos,
everybody who's a Giants fan
here.
Knows who the voice of the Giants is.
Right, and everybody who's a Patriots fan knows it's Gil Santos.
Right.
But what I'm saying is everybody who is a Redskins fan doesn't know who Bob Poppy is.
Well, they don't need to. They're not.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, it's a local job.
But they know who their guy is.
It's just not that big a deal. That's all I'm saying.
Locally it is.
And I totally think that you're overestimating the amount of people that listen on the radio.
Well, that I agree with.
If you happen to be stuck in the car when the game is on,
and a lot of people are.
You do that, but people do not listen to the radio broadcast as their means to listen to watch the game.
It's not their means
the
of choice,
right?
But when
even now, even the car, you're on the computer, and tracking on your phone or whatever. I just think you.
I know some fans who actually
drastically overestimate
who actually do put the TV on.
And let me guess the average age of that person. 68?
No. No, I don't think so.
Such disdain.
Oh, I just think that...
Did you hit your head in the car accident?
I just think it's one of these things that we make a big deal out of because we're in the media and we're talking about other guys in the media. I don't think people care. I really don't.
I think people care more than you think.
Oh, yeah.
I've never met anybody who
cares.
When
the Crafts bought... I've had a lot of people talk to me about guilt.
Listen to me. When the Crafts bought the team in 1994 and they did that deal with BCN, Patriots were, I think, if not the first, the second team to have their broadcast on FM. They did this deal with WBCN 104.1 at the time. BCN's thing was, let's get some new voice. Let's get some fresh voices, younger. And the letters that they got from fans say, you can't get rid of Gil Santos. You know, the Crafts went to BCN and said, oh, we want to keep Gil in the seat. And maybe they're all 60 years old, Paul. You might be right, but there were a lot of fans that took that seriously.
That's what you'll get when you make the next change, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's because that's what people do.
Yeah.
And you get how many? A couple hundred?
Yeah.
500, maybe? I'll give you 10,000.
Okay.
No, I won't.
Okay.
There's no shot in hell you get 10,000 letters.
I'm being ridiculous on that side.
Yeah.
That's such a small percentage of the people out there. I don't care how many hundreds of letters you get.
Well, you know, a lot of
no one cares.
A lot of our listeners are from out of the area, so they don't get to listen to the radio anyway. But I'd be interested to see from our listeners, how important is the radio voice of your team?
Well, but they do. Isn't that on the website now or something?
You can't. Well, yeah, the website you can get it. Yeah,
that's what I mean.
Yeah.
So if they can't, if they can't get the video, the international listeners might have to choose to listen to the radio
on those illegal streams.
Well, yeah, but not everybody knows.
But you know how important
Fred tells them on the blog.
but poor John and Gary. One of them is probably we think they're the favorites. John Rook and Gary. One of them's going to get this job, and I'm like, who cares? No one worried. No one's interested. Jerk, Paul.
But you know,
you can be the Bob Papa thing. With or without the radio. I mean, I know that's an aspect of it, but you could have a radio show. You can be the in-stadium guy. You can
sort of like the ambassador.
He does the hall weekend and, you know, rallies. When we have a rally, he emcees that or those types of things. I mean, you can be that person.
I wonder what the listenership is on game day, you know.
Everybody's watching TV. How they all listen to the radio,
you know,
too?
During games, there's still a lot of cars on the road. You know, people that just have to be out. You know, and I would imagine.
I'm not suggesting that you don't put the games on the radio.
I mean, but would you not listen if they just put the TV audio on?
You kind of have
to. I still listen.
Right.
Whatever I can do, I'd listen.
Exactly.
No, but
I'd rather, if I'm in the car, I'd rather have someone describing it for a radio audience than for a TV audience. So I want the details.
Said you had Gil.
Ba-dum-po.
Just kidding, Gil.
Check.
Love you. I'm just 32, 42, 37.
And I understand that you have to have your games broadcast. I'm not suggesting that you don't put them on. I mean, I think there is, however small, there are people who work and they have to have the radio.
Right.
They have to be in your car and they're listening to the radio, whatever. But I just don't think it's a really big percentage of people that really actually care about who's doing the talking. They just want to know who's winning.
One related note that I do like is 98.5 The Sports Hub brought back the Patriots Rock Radio Network logo with the Elvis with the headphones and the sunglasses.
Oh, but they don't say Rock Radio Network anymore.
No, it's actually, I think it's the decimal point in 98.5 is the Elvis head with I always liked, I thought the sunglasses
that was very,
were kind of
that
cool.
was very cool.
I always liked it, and I saw that making the rounds upstairs.
Yeah, when do we get our T-shirts and caps?
Never. When do we get our T-shirts? And by our, I mean they say PFW on them.
You know, pick the ball up that you dropped and get that design done.
Oh, he just called you out.
No, what happened was I had the ball and I was full stride at the 4 yard line and you slapped it out of my hands.
I sent it back.
That's because you didn't lower your head.
I was following the rules.
I sent it back for revision and it never came back to me.
Yeah, throw some text. That was your revision.
whatever the revision I asked for, it wasn't done
by your designers.
Oh,
they rely on you for the information.
That's not what I heard. Can we get this done?
He's just talking to himself.
No, seriously, though. Can we get T-shirts done this year?
I told you what you need to do.
We need to spread the brand. Max Lane would like a copy of PFW. Wants to know how come alumni don't get free copies.
When did you talk to Max Lane?
I did 1510 this morning. He was the co-host with somebody. I don't know.
Wow.
But
you did 1510 this morning?
Yeah.
Is that why you listened to Danny Picard?
No, it was a friend of a friend contacted me for the new host. Darwin Zook.
That's why, right?
Is the new host of that. It's like 6 to 8 or something.
So they have some shows there, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's 6 to 8, and then I heard that 8 to thing.
It's coming around, Andy. They're going to get to us sooner or later. If they start enough stations, Andy.
They wanted me to be in studio, but
where are they?
Where are they?
Where is Marina Bay in Quincy? Is that easy to get to, or
not particularly?
No, but is it like easy to get to? If because I'd have to be there like 6
No,
in the
you have to go over that bridge and he then just down goes, that road. It can get real busy.
Where's Marina Bay in Quincy? And Fred answers, in Quincy.
Right. Well, I'm thinking like, is it right off the highway? It's boom, quick in
you
and
have
out.
To go, no, you have to go down that. It can get very. It could be a lot of traffic.
So where Brady used to live, right?
But it probably wouldn't be early in the morning.
No, you'd probably be all right.
I'd have to leave my house like 5.
But you got to go through Boston. It's you can get hung up in there.
So they want you to come in the future?
Yeah. Well, they wanted me previously, and I said no.
Don't sell yourself out like that.
Well, I will sell myself out. The question is, would I just do
it as a favor?
I thought
you'd do the Toucher and the Rich in the morning.
I do sometimes.
You do that instead of 15:10.
Yeah.
What do you mean, eh?
I don't fit in on that show.
Why?
There's no chemistry.
He doesn't
They're
find them
smart?
Funny.
I don't find them funny.
Well, you go on there and be funny.
I know, but then they like return with something, and I don't get it because it's a reference to like a T-Bird in the 80s or something. It's like some weird.
A lot of their stuff does tend to revolve around like 70s and 80s rock.
Yeah, and I don't get it. You know me.
So it's like Glenn, our cameraman for CSN.
Yeah. Well, Glenn has, but usually.
But at least he'll like explain it, and then I can kind of laugh. On the radio, they don't, and then I don't get it. And then they get mad, because I said this once before, I don't find them funny, and I don't get their humor, and then people tweet it to them, and then they get mad at me.
And it got really uncomfortable there for a while.
So you're kind of on the outs with them.
No, he's been on many times since then. I catch him every once in a while.
I don't know.
Tell him.
I don't feel like it's a great segment.
Yeah?
It just we don't click. You know, sometimes you just don't, you know, it just doesn't, there's nothing
Well,
there.
I think they're the kind that they don't want anyone to upstage them, so they always want to be in control.
I guess.
You know, so it's hard.
Yeah, I just don't get it. Yeah. So, you know, and plus, you know, they don't pay me.
Well, is this other people looking to do that?
I don't know. I'm just, you know, they're on the ground floor, so I don't want to burn
going
that
in
bridge.
Studio, you got to get something for the
Well,
effort.
That's what I'm saying.
Just for the gas.
But today I just tuned in. I could actually get it down here.
Yeah,
well, I didn't know where you could get
if
that.
If I were
station.
You, I wouldn't be worrying. I would be worried about how much money you're getting after all the static you give me. when I went for my raise,
when you doubled your salary.
All right, webradiopatriots.com. Alex from Philly.
So does your agent now take 3% of that?
That's a negative. No,
it's all future earnings.
Yes.
Did you sign anything?
No.
So it's
Fred's trying to read an email.
I'm glad that you decided that the air was where these questions needed to be asked.
Oh, I thought we had already talked about that you had an agent.
I don't think so.
Yeah, Paul has an agent. I told Paul, I don't care if you have an agent, but you better never call me.
It is review time.
He nods.
He's all proud of himself.
Can you imagine that conversation? What would you do if I wanted to talk about Paul.
So I did have a meeting with my financial guy this
morning. So talk.
That wouldn't be good.
My financial guy was asking me this morning, so everything the same at work? Yeah, can we expect any big changes?
Nope.
And I go, no, review's coming up, but no.
You say, how long have you been my accountant? Alex from Philly, with all of the Welker storm behind us, at least in theory, let's move on to more important matters, this defense. I love the signing of Wilson, but the Arrington signing made my stomach sick. I was so ready to move on.
Consistent response.
I was so ready to move on from him, and the fact we gave him way more money than he was worth makes my stomach feel even worse. Were there no better options than him? Also, with the draft upcoming, assuming we stay in the first round, what position should we target? And have any pass rushers caught your attention in you would consider getting? Lastly, after catching up on the podcast, I couldn't stop laughing.
Uh-oh.
When I noticed on last Thursday's mega show that even though it was 3 hours, Fred still somehow managed to read like 3 emails. But that's okay, because the arguments in the revival of Angry Eric more than made up for it. So
I'm a big fan of Angry Eric.
Are you? Yeah.
Who's that Molly Quirum or Quirum? Or, say that, Eric?
You like her?
Yeah, Arrington, a lot of people
you like
are...
Her? You like her?
I like her look. She's got the glasses and kind of the librarian hot for teacher look. She's not on right now.
I think with Arrington, I think people need to...
And we're on the radio.
people need to separate their thoughts of Arrington on the outside.
Yes.
When he's had to start and play out there.
Do you think he's effective at either one?
I think he looks pretty good.
Yeah, I think he's okay inside.
Yeah, well, okay is not
$4 million
a year.
In today's NFL...
Yeah. Okay is not $4 million a year.
I think he was better than okay inside.
Did we get to the bottom of those numbers?
Yeah.
Did he get the... what was it, like $8 million guaranteed?
Yeah, some have lowered that a little bit, but I think 7.5 was the lowest I saw.
So pretty much guaranteed. Half of his contract is guaranteed.
Yes.
That's amazing.
I agree with you guys.
He's
that
making
I think
more
he's,
than Wes Welker, guaranteed.
He's a better fit inside than outside. But I think the reason that we think so much differently is because outside he would get beat deep once in a while. You don't
and
get beat deep in the slot.
Right.
But I think he gets beat just as much.
Let's see.
That's
I don't
a
think
lot
he gets
of money.
Beat any more than Devin McCourty.
And I'm not going to be in favor of giving him $8 million guaranteed either.
Greg Bedard's talking about them working on an extension this offseason.
And I have no doubt that it's going to happen, and I won't be happy with it. Just a little foreshadowing.
Anthony writes in, "Dear men of PFW, I'm now living in Tampa, a transplant from Boston, and met Gronk recently. Andy, you would have approved of the company he was keeping. Tatas, as you would say, were falling out of her dress.
Was it BB?
I don't know.
I mean, that you could. She has big tatas, and she's a porn star, so I'm sure they'd be falling out of her dress.
He was pretty cool, but can someone please relay a message to these guys that the socks with sandals look as ridiculous?
Won't be Fred.
Especially while wearing shorts. All the best. Keep up the great work. And by the way, what's going on with Vollmer? Any other teams expressing interest? We talked about him earlier. The socks with sandals is the way to go.
It's a big athlete thing now.
It's the way to go.
You've seen that a lot?
You don't
Seriously?
Want your sweaty feet up against the rubber or leather of the sandal. You want it absorbed by the cotton of the sock.
But it has to be a cotton sock.
It's much more hygienic. It's much more cooler in terms of temperature.
Not in terms of style.
Right.
It's far less cooler.
I would admit that. It's not cool in terms of style, but it's makes much more sense, and I firmly. Yeah.
And if I were you, I would say Gronk does it, because he's pretty much as cool as
well,
you can get.
But I'm guessing the sandals that Gronk had on are like athletic kind of flip-flop
like
things,
Adidas type flip-flop
as opposed to the you know the Jesus of Nazareth sandals that Fred wears the socks with
Echoes, and I'm sure anyone out there including strippers knows that Echoes are good sandals.
Why are you going right to strippers?
Yeah,
because he knows everything.
He's
knows
the expert of coolness.
All right, Brooklyn Matt,
he's all does not know everything.
Brooklyn Matt knows how to Google.
Right.
Mike in Maryland says, I'm 24. He says he's addressing this to Paul. I'm 24 and listen to the Celtics radio broadcast through an NBA game app. Since I rarely get to the games in Maryland, I enjoy Maxwell and Sean doing the commentary. So I'd say I do care who's calling the game. For the Patriots, I have Sunday ticket, but it's too expensive to get the ticket and league pass and so on. I'm sure there are others in a similar situation.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not painting with a broad brush. I just don't think it's a high priority for a lot of people. That's all I'm saying. And I would ask that gentleman if he wouldn't really be interested in listening to the Celtics broadcast if, you know, Joe Smith and Tom Jones were doing it instead of Sean and Max. Because I think Sean's very good. I think Sean's a very good play-by-play guy. I went to school with him. I know him very well. But I just think that that's not why you listen. You don't listen because of the announcer.
Walter says, the industry standard of every letter you get, there are 200 others who didn't take the time. So 200 letters equals 40,000 listeners.
Yeah, and that's a very small percentage of the people that watch the Patriots. That proves my point perfectly.
But it might not be a small percentage of the people that listen. Because I don't think a lot of people listen. 40,000, I think, is a large percent. I bet your listeners is a couple hundred thousand.
I'm not talking about listeners. I'm talking about people caring. Because I don't.
No, but you're catering to your listeners. You care about the people who actually use it. You shouldn't care about the person. I hate Gil Santos. How many times you listen? Oh, I never listen. Well, I don't care if you hate him. I want the 150,000 people that listen.
See, I would only care about the people that say, I want to listen, but I can't listen because of Gil Santos. That's the only person I would care about.
Yeah, how many people you would gain.
I don't think that person exists.
If you change the play-by-play
guy. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that person exists. The person who wants to listen on the radio but doesn't because he doesn't like the play-by-play guy.
I find myself doing that with Sean Grandy sometimes. I find him unlistenable.
Well, I can't listen to the beginning of a game.
He
with
is
Sean
the most. I mean, Eric, he makes you look like humble meat and potatoes.
But in
kind
terms
of
the game
he
itself,
is the most arrogant,
he's very
pompous,
good.
Douchebaggish guy ever on the radio. I don't know him personally.
You're not far off.
Nice guy. I liked him.
Sean.
He might be a nice guy.
Sean
comes
loves
off
him
as
some
a DB.
Sean. Sean's very high on himself. That's not inaccurate, as they say, that description. He has those long monologues at the beginning of games where he writes it all out.
Yeah, why?
I don't know.
Just basketball.
But see, he's very good at the game. When the game's on and he's doing play-by-play, he's very good at telling you relevant stuff.
And then he's always bitching about how far away they are now.
Oh, we can't see from over here. That's a new media thing in general. We all fall victim of that.
From this part, I can barely tell you who scores.
But again, that's another one. It's like, who cares other than other media?
Right.
We're the only one. I hear you, Sean. Right. I'm up in the corner at Gillette. I can't see either.
Andres Escalon writes up, what's up, gentlemen? Real quick, I'm curious about the Elvis Dumervil situation. I think that adding him would significantly improve our defense enough to balance out any issues with the offense due to all the receiver turnover. It's been a while since the Patriots have had a scary D, and I think possibility of having Elvis and Chandler Jones rushing the passer could be historic. I would love it, but I'd also like to see Abraham here.
Yeah, I would too.
So he would be your...
You want Dumervil and Abraham?
No, one or the other.
One or the other.
Where would Elvis Dumervil play?
I mean, sure, I'd take both of them.
Yeah,
but
I'd take them all,
practically,
too.
Let's throw
Revis in.
Where would Dumervil play?
The opposite of Jones.
Jones usually lines up defense.
On the right.
Yeah.
So you're going to make Dumervil your left defensive end.
He could play the same spot he played in Denver, couldn't he? That's the left defensive.
Is that
end,
what he was in Denver?
Generally what he plays.
Yeah.
Now, they used him more probably as what we would say is a 3-4 outside guy, but he would play out.
I was wondering
there.
Where he would fit. And I'm not poo-pooing it because of that. I'm just asking, you know, Ninkovic, you know, in the effort to get your best 11 guys on the field, because to me, Dumervil plays. If you sign Abraham, he's a rotational guy. He plays. He doesn't play. Rotates in for this guy. But if you sign Dumervil, I think you sign him as a starter.
I was just wondering what your lineup would look like.
You're
certainly more than likely going to have to pay him as a starter.
Right. So I just kind of, I mean, who's the odd man out? Are you going 3-4, 4-3? I just don't know how exactly.
Could Dumervil play a little outside linebacker?
He has.
Yeah, I think that's what he really is. I mean, he might be considered a defensive end, but I think that the position he actually plays, Andy's right.
And it's like Freeney. Oh, he was an outside linebacker. Not when I watched him last year.
No.
He was a defensive end.
Right.
You can call him what you want to call him, but he was in the same spot, lined up, hand in the dirt, rushing the passer
and
at all.
And certainly at the Colts, he was always an end.
Well, no, that's what I mean.
Well, last year on their depth chart,
he was an outside linebacker. And there was no transition.
But he did the same thing that he did the previous 10 years in Indianapolis. And that gets back to Bill's whole thing about how overrated all this is.
Another side note, have you heard the commercial for EEI? We have your Patriots covered like you wish they covered opposing receivers.
No, I haven't.
Wow.
Who's and this? I was like, are you like a corporate partner of the team?
Yeah, let's keep letting them re-up, Fred. That's good.
We have your Patriots covered like you wish they covered opposing receivers. And I was like, hey, we could just not let you have Patriots Monday anymore.
Yeah, it's time Fred gets that studio back for us on Monday.
That's right, bitches. Cover this.
Scott from the Jersey Shore.
My groin.
Long time listener, eighth time emailer. The passing of the crown of the helmet rule has proven once again how hypocritical the NFL can be. I don't remember seeing the play when it happened, but I have seen the Earl Campbell run over that poor sucker from the Rams countless times on NFL Network. I'm pretty sure they had a top 10 countdown of bruising backfields. How can they vilify an action on the field and glorify it? The same action on their network.
Well, that's what they've always done.
That's what
done.
They've done forever.
You know, jacked up, and then they got rid of it in those football, like, biggest hits, 1994.
NFL Films things. Yeah.
That's in, like, the lawsuit for Seau that they actually used him, and he had, like, he commented in the video, like,
if I'm groggy, the other guy's knocked out, or something along those lines.
I mean, that's the way this has been going. They glorify it until they realize they shouldn't anymore, and then they stop.
Also, if the money is similar, who would you rather have, Abraham or Freeney?
Abraham.
Oh, Abraham. I think Freeney might be done.
Okay. Dan writes in, good day, PFWers. As someone who lives...
He's so smooth.
As someone who lives out of New England,
goes down good.
Where the game isn't always on, I was very glad to see that the radio broadcast was added to the Patriots website last year. It's very handy, especially when my computer craps itself and I can't get the Kirschwords feed. For some reason, the radio feed will keep on going, even if the updating of the Kirschwords feed stalls.
How does that make sense that you can get audio, but you can't get your text updated?
Well, that's a company called Cover It Live handles that, so I don't know. It could be, you know, with the volume of stuff that we get, I could see it slowing down thousands of posts. Even if the game is on TV, if I'm stuck with Phil Sims, who I find is the human equivalent of elevator music, or Dan Snorfest Deardorff, then I totally have the TV on, but get the radio feed going. Just my 2 cents.
Now that sounds like more for Zolak than for Gil, because he would be the excitable color guy as opposed to those guys who are kind of dry.
Robin Alaska says socks with sandals, as in all fashion, is all about how it's done. Prada, Wang, and Lamb have all featured collections highlighting socks with sandals. By the way, Angry Eric should be a weekly blog feature.
You can't force it, though.
Right.
It has to be
You seem
natural.
A little tired, though, Eric.
Well, I've changed time zones about 60 times in the last 2 weeks, so it's catching up to me a little bit.
So, yeah.
Plus, he was up late with Jackie UK.
Oh, is that right? Really?
Do tell.
What's going on here? Do we have
a budding office romance? Stop it right now.
Why?
We're good friends. Don't talk about her like
that. How good?
Please. Just
I knew
stop.
I could reel him
just
in.
Just stop.
How good, though?
Just stop.
So is this something?
You have emails piling up.
Will there be a point where you'll make an announcement?
Just stop.
So you won't make an announcement at any point? I'm not talking about this week, next week.
This is a Bill Belichick press conference.
Right.
I think we've talked about that.
We've talked about that.
We've covered that.
I have nothing more to add.
But I'm not the typical media guy that bends to that pressure.
Nothing more to add.
Will there be an announcement at some point?
I have nothing more
Fred
to
Kirsch,
add.
Fred Kirsch, the entire media.
So I'll take that as a yes.
You don't know. I have nothing
more
to add.
You just gave him the Obama
You did. You just gave me the Bill Clinton.
So I'll take that as a yes.
Bill Clinton Obama thumb nod.
All right. Well, good for you.
Wait, did you stay at the Biltmore?
Good.
No, we stayed at... Yes, the whole crew that went.
Oh.
We stayed.
I certainly didn't intend anything. I thought there were multiple people, and that was a we.
We stayed at a Hampton Inn.
Inn?
And I was going to say and Suites, but I don't think it was an and Suites. I think it was just Hampton Inn.
Hampton Inn and Suites.
But anyway, I was pleasantly surprised, actually, because I was thinking, I don't know why I had this thought that Hampton Inn was kind of like Comfort Inn, Motel 6, kind of like.
That's what I thought it was.
I did. And then we got there, and it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like $200 a night for the rooms, but the amenities were great. The rooms were very spacious. It was clean.
Did you have a suite?
Not a suite, but it was a large room.
Queen bed? What? What?
He goes, what?
No, it was...
sounded like Brady with Ray Lewis.
He cracked himself up.
It was really nice. It was the pleasant surprise of the trip.
Now, were the photos by the pool at the Hampton Inn? Or was that at the Biltmore? This is a serious question. I'm not going anywhere. I just want to know.
We had a pool at the Hampton Inn, yes.
Okay. But you didn't have, like, those big phallic symbol statue things. That was at the Biltmore.
That was.
Those are called cactus.
No.
No.
Or cacti.
No, there was some, like,
there were statues there. Yeah. The Biltmore had all of the
concrete totem
exactly.
pole looking
they
things.
Did. That was kind of their thing.
Right. They were a little phallicy.
Because it's always on your mind. None of us had that thought whatsoever.
No, Fred did.
Oh, you did, Fred?
Fred actually called the, what'd you call the...
You thought those statues were phallic?
Yes, I said the
valley?
Penis garden.
Yeah,
penis,
no, oh the cactuses God. He thought were the penis,
penis garden.
You and Jackie did us up, stand-up in front of the penis garden.
Did you say that?
And by the way...
Not on the air. Yes. No.
No, now.
Not,
but
not,
he asked
not until now.
And you were very...
Unbelievable.
You were very Fred Kirsch-like in your use of, and to pardon the pun...
Thorny.
That was very like scripted.
We said it beforehand and Matt was like okay, yeah, like that. Yep, that's good.
Was he like hovering around?
He was hovering.
He's like helicopter mom the whole time.
Well, yeah, I mean, but yeah.
Is he back
in a good way?
Did he stay out there?
No, in a good way.
Yeah.
It was right the way he did it.
Okay.
I think. Yeah, cuz he was sort of, you know,
a chaperone.
He made sure there was a like space between the two of you.
I'm talking about our coverage.
I'm only kidding.
He's not kidding about that other line about the garden.
Oh, yeah, he called it the
it
penis
garden. It was the
garden.
Penis
garden. Did you? Yeah.
You know, the thorny situation.
Yes.
All right, let's go. Let's move back.
Angry Eric is coming. We got time.
Let's move back to our other mode of communication, the Ace Ticket Hotline. Pat's in New Hampshire. He wants to talk about helmet design. Hey, Pat.
Hi. How are you guys?
Hey.
Hey, Pat.
Hey, I had this idea the other day when I was opening up a box, and all the rules they're making about the helmet is all about this hard outer shell and using it as a weapon. Well, suppose we left the leather wrapping, but instead of a hard outer shell, somebody in R&D would try to develop a bubble wrap for it instead.
Something they have it,
so
right?
Thick and cushiony with air that the outside would be almost a soft plastic, but unable to make contact with the head because of the cushion of air between it and the leather wrap on the inside.
It's not a bad idea. Goodell has talked about lighter helmets, believe it or not. Now, I don't know if he also was thinking about softer helmets.
At your upstairs, at your coach's convention, they had some stuff.
No, but that's still the XL helmets.
I just saw something that looked like it had little zenith cushion thing.
No, but that's what you're looking at is just the inside. They mold the inside. That's just the layer.
No, this looked kind of more like an add-on.
But I actually thought
Pat was going to go in a different direction. Why couldn't you make it out of a super slippery thing so that none of the blows, every blow would always glance?
It's a glance, but that's a possibility. But I also think, you know, having a soft outer shell. So the head's still protected, but when you hit it, it's not hard.
Well, that.
Why are you laughing?
I don't know.
Because you do it on purpose, and you know you do.
No, I don't.
No, but I was thinking about all the stuff with. I know my sister works at some company in Fall River. They produce a lot of cases, cell phones, iPads,
right?
And it's like rubber that supposedly hardens on impact, or
right.
It goes from soft to hard on it. And I didn't know why they couldn't do something like that.
Children. Well, I think you need to look at all that. Absolutely,
right.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure one of your booths at your coach's convention.
You're talking about the Zenith helmets, but that's they're showing the inside of the helmet where it's all these little, they look like discs.
Because I know there was talk when Don Beebe and those guys would wear the extra thing.
Right.
It was actually worse because it didn't allow for glancing blows and it created more impact on the. So that made me think if you had something that, you know, like Chevy Chase with the stuff in Christmas Vacation that's like super slippery that everything just like
I wonder with that softer stuff that, you know, bubble wrap, you know, if it, like right now it's a hard plastic, so the helmet's never going to stick to the other helmet.
Right.
And it's always just going to be gliding. If you have some other material, I wonder if that friction that's created
it actually
does damage to the neck.
Damage to the neck, you're right.
You know?
Yep, you could. Yep, so you have to look at all of that.
You could attach it to the shoulder pads so that it would be held in place and would protect the neck from being twisted or caught.
Yeah.
But now you get into the movement and the turn your head to catch a pass, all that.
But Sterling Sharp had the thing where he had the snaps up the back of his helmet, you know, toward the end of his after he hurt his neck, and then he eventually couldn't play anymore.
Thanks, Pat. I think the overall point that Pat's made, there's probably something that isn't being used now that, you know, they could develop that might
certainly,
you know, help this. You know
what a lot of problem is with this, though, and this is probably a political thing, but it always seems like a lot of this stuff comes from NASA or the military.
And we're not.
And we're kind of not investing as much in that.
R&D, you're right.
And so I wonder if that'll be detrimental to the whole process. Because it seems like all these, you know, was first developed by NASA when they were trying to do something else. That didn't work, but we ended up with a good football helmet instead of a moon helmet.
Exactly.
So I wonder if that'll slow down some of that creation.
You're right. Here's one for you, Andy. Rod's in Atlanta. Hey, Rod.
Hey, guys. How are you?
I see what he did there.
Yeah.
Hi, Rod.
Let me ask you, do you think there's money in to be invested in player safety, like to be gained?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Like we just talked about, I mean, I don't know if this is why you called exactly, but if someone develops the better, safer helmet, then, yeah, there's a lot of money to be made because it's not just NFL. It's, it's everything.
It's more than NFL. There are far more kids playing than NFL. I mean, the NFL's only, whatever, 1,800 people
or
whatever that number is. Think of how many kids are playing everywhere. And all these rich parents now, that's the thing. They buy everything.
Well,
I remember when I played everything, like, you got free crappy stuff. Now everybody goes to Dick's and buys, like, a couple hundred dollars worth of everything.
Yeah, you don't have to wear the team-issued helmet in high school. You can come with your own helmet.
Right. Even in baseball.
But that's
what I'm
talking
about.
Everybody
buys their own helmets now in baseball.
Yeah. And T-ball.
Like, I'm like the only one that doesn't have my kids still have their own helmets.
It's very recent. I mean, safety hasn't been a concern for that long. So the technology just isn't there because the money isn't there.
You're right.
The interest isn't there.
You might be
Follow the money.
I think there's a ton of money to be gained in that.
Yep.
Yeah, like 20 years down the road, there will be money.
I would imagine right as we speak, companies are looking at, Can we make a better helmet?
I mean, let's just imagine if what Pat, the previous caller, said, if he's right and there's some kind of technology, the guy who perfects that is going to make all kinds of money.
Yep.
And there's also money to be lost. If you're Riddell or, you know,
if you
lose it all because weren't on the forefront of the technology,
that's right.
Now you're out. Now you just went from the only company in town to out of business.
Right. Yep. So get those kids at MIT working on this.
No, they're too busy putting out phony emails.
On 60 Minutes, where a company got sued because their equipment said concussion resistant or concussion proof. I don't know what the wording is, but it was like a complete lie and they were getting sued.
Yeah.
But anyway, just another point real quick. Paul, I need your help on this Welker thing.
Uh-oh. Because I was with you, and I didn't care if they re-signed him or not. So last Wednesday, I was like, okay, they didn't re-sign him because they didn't want him. But then he was paid, you know, his salary was so low, he signed for so little, then yeah. I was like, well, why didn't we sign him? And now Mr. Kraft comes in and says that we wanted him. So to me, it feels like incompetence. I mean, why didn't we sign him now? Even though I didn't care if they signed
yeah.
him or not.
Listen, I think it's a little bit of a complex issue. I think we've heard from both sides, and I think, not to sound like the whole cliche, but I think the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. I'm not entirely on board with the notion from both sides that they wanted to be back. The Patriots are adamant that they wanted Wes back, and Wes is adamant that he wanted to be back, and I'm not sure that the number one thing for either side was returning. The number one thing was they wanted them back at their prices, and I think it's unfortunate. I stand by my feeling that I thought he would be back, but I really am not all that upset that he's not. But the whole negotiation thing and who's wrong, who's right, I don't really care. And he's not here. That's the only thing I would care about as a fan. And I don't have the definitive answer as to why he's not here. I don't necessarily believe 100% of either side.
At the end of the day, neither side wanted to go that extra mile to get it done. So if that means neither side wanted it that bad, you can say that. And that's the bottom line. Neither side was willing to go the extra mile.
Yeah, I had an emailer, you know, send me something a couple of days ago saying if he was our number one priority, as Mr. Kraft, you know, pointed out, then why did the number two priority, number two alternative, as he's put it, get more money? You know, I don't know. I don't know if you look at it that way. He's a younger guy. That's why he got more money. You know, Wes wasn't in line for a five-year deal. So that was unrealistic. That wasn't going to happen. So I think that people are emotional. It's still, you know, he's obviously one of the all-time favorites in the organization. It's going to take a while, but I think it's going to come down to a very simple fact. Can Amendola stay healthy and produce?
Right.
And if he does, it'll go away. If he doesn't, people are going to be constantly looking at what Wes is doing in Denver and
sure.
complaining about
and
it.
And even beyond that, as long as the Patriots are one game better in the standings, it won't be as much of an issue.
Well, but you weren't last year.
As long as this year they are one game.
No, but what I'm saying is if your guy produces, let's say Amendola catches 100 passes and he's healthy for 16 games. People aren't going to look at it and say, we needed to have Wes back.
Right.
Even if Denver finishes ahead of you.
If he catches 120 passes, but your defense blows and Denver's better than you, well, that's not because Welker is or isn't here.
And some people will look at that and say, well, maybe if you had Welker and he had 120 catches, you would have. Some people will do that, but I agree with Andy. Not a lot. They'll look at it and say, well, you had a guy who was very productive in the slot. He stayed healthy. He did exactly what he's supposed to do. And the other team was just better than you.
Do you think either Robert or Wes know specifically or exactly when, why he's no longer a Patriot?
Yes.
You do?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not sure they do.
I don't know if Wes knows, but his
agent does.
I'm not
sure either. Well, that's not what I asked. I asked Wes and Robert, not the agent and Nick Caserio, or not the agent and Floyd Reese, and not the agent and Bill Belichick.
I think it's one
Wes
of these cases where each side, it's like witnesses to an accident. You Paul, you were in the accident yesterday. Mm-hmm. Usually, if there's a crime or some sort of accident, You can interview as many witnesses as you want, and you'll get a different story from each one. And each person feels that their version of events is what actually happened.
They believe it.
I think in this case, it's the same thing. I think both sides think that their version of events, which, and when they make the argument, both sides do make sense. They both feel like they're in the right 100%.
But my question is Robert basing his comments and argument on some of what has been told to him rather than what he took part in? And is Wes basing some of his based on what was told to him rather than what he took part in?
Well,
because one of the complaints was, you know, that the agent showed up, and the other guy is this Brian
Murphy,
not even David Dunn. And David Dunn is now the guy kind of doing damage control. But Brian Murphy shows up to talk to Floyd Reese. Well,
you mean Nick Caserio?
And I believe it was Floyd Reese. But
I think he's gone, isn't he?
No.
Back then.
Weeks ago, months ago.
Yeah.
And, like, you're right. He's no longer a part of our organization. And Brian Murphy is, like, third in line behind David Dunn and Wes Welker on that side of the table. So there's some, you know, and some underlings doing work here. And then, like, Welker and Kraft are left as, well, he didn't really want to be back. Well, he doesn't know exactly what happened. And he put his trust in an agent, and you have to do that. And Robert has to put his trust in his organization and his people. But in the end, I'm not sure they both know exactly where that went sour, specifically, yeah. And why and how and the whole ramifications of it.
Harry is in West Hartford. How come the Patriots can develop low draft picks and undrafted free agents at every position on the field, but they cannot develop young wide receivers? And he goes into examples of all the positions where they have developed young players and while where they couldn't do it at wide receiver. The organization seems to adverse to bringing in top wide receiving talent who do not also project as special teams players. It seems to me like this means the roster will continue to be populated with the same kind of lackluster receiving talent, guys who can return punts or tackle on special teams, but not necessarily guys who can be developed to play wide receiver at a high level because they have versatile journeyman talents, not elite wide receiver skills. Will this ever change?
Yes. It'll change. I guarantee you they will develop a receiver at some point.
And you're going to have to use a higher draft pick probably than you. I think they're going to this year. I think you're going to use a first or second round pick. And they haven't done that in a while. It's been, 06, Chad Jackson, in the second round?
Second round.
And if you even want to include Taylor Price a little bit later in the third round, him and Brandon Tate. But they're always – those kinds of guys, to me, there's an asterisk there. I mean, like Brandon Tate was coming off the injury. You didn't know exactly – you thought there was value there because he was hurt. And then with Taylor Price, you thought there was value because he was in a run-oriented offense. You know, there's sort of a projection there. I think the next wide receiver they take in the draft is going to be a guy that pretty much universally is expected to be a good player. Now, whether or not they pick the right one, we'll find out. But the whole development thing, when you have a lower draft pick or a a young guy, they have to play special teams. You know, David Givens didn't make the Patriots as a seventh-round pick in 2002 because they immediately said, that guy's going to be a good number two receiver someday. He played special teams, remember? He barely played as a receiver as a rookie.
Some defense, right?
I remember him playing defense.
In the preseason, he played a little defense.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But he made his bones as a special teams player that first year. I almost said his freshman year. And then the next year, all of a sudden, wow, this guy, he's really developed. He's come on as a viable option, and he had a good, solid career as a Patriots receiver.
Plus, injury aside, haven't they developed Edelman? I mean, they were going to play him over Welker last year, so there was some value there, right? He developed. That's development.
It is.
The injury is sort of a secondary issue there, but they've developed him into a guy that they wanted on the field and Brady would throw to. Because that's the other aspect of this we always bring up.
Right.
The Brady fitting in young players and the whole idea that he's going at 90 miles an hour and these guys come in at 30 and can't get up to speed and can't merge in. And that's a problem.
Artie and Keene, honestly, the helmet material doesn't matter at all, does it? Any jarring motion or of tackling or hitting the ground or whatever is going to make your brain bounce in your skull. I'm an accountant, not a doctor, but no matter the material, you still get a concussion. I had a motorcycle accident, was wearing a helmet, and still got a concussion. So does anyone really think that a special helmet can stop the brain from moving in your skull? No, he's absolutely right, but a special helmet could, alleviate it when someone tries to use it as a weapon.
Wait a minute. Is he absolutely right?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
I don't think he is.
When your brain moves inside your head with the jar, like a baby.
No, I know.
But what if a helmet can prevent your
jar,
brain from moving inside your head?
It can't.
Well, I mean,
I don't know for sure, but I'm just
I don't want to hear can't.
Well, I'm just thinking of those Tempur-Pedic commercials where they drop the bowling ball and, like, the jar of wine right next to it doesn't move.
Yeah, but right, okay, but
the guy jumping
yes,
up and down on the bed.
It's there's no way materials could be used so that the blow is the bowling ball and the brain is the bottle of wine.
Yeah, if you can keep the head from moving in that, sudden manner, yeah, you can prevent the brain from moving. But
right,
you know,
what you need to do is a big blow coming in needs to be turned into a small blow inside.
Right, but as long as you can do that, but that's a lot of absorption on your head. You know, those Tempur-Pedic mattresses are like 8 inches thick.
I didn't say it was going to be easy. Yeah. This is why NASA has to do it.
Yeah.
I don't think that's
hard. There's a reason they go to MIT.
Like when you shake a baby, you don't have to touch its head. But
I've never actually shaken a baby.
You can give it a concussion because of the brain moving inside.
No, I know.
You don't even have to touch the head.
Yeah, but I've never done that. I wouldn't know about that.
I'm just saying.
You're very negative, though. You don't have a lot of faith in science.
No, but can't you say at the very least you can make
What's
it harder for the brain to move inside the head if you develop from a technological standpoint?
If you can keep the movement of the head from happening,
I mean,
yes.
Maybe you can't eliminate the possibility of a concussion.
Right.
They drop iPads out of planes and they don't break.
You can certainly do something to make them harder to sustain. No? You don't even want to try.
He's very negative.
Fred doesn't even want to
just
try.
Just give it up. You're going to get concussions, people.
Now he's just ignoring us.
And making monkey noises.
Scott wants to know if it'll be a large or small wedding, Eric.
What wedding?
Jim in Walpole
says... Now, will it be stateside or...
Eric just harumped you.
Jim in Walpole says, I think the Patriots missed an opportunity to add some much-needed toughness to the secondary by passing on Bernard Pollard. I know he has Lloyditis, 6 teams in 5 years, but he is a thumper with some attitude. Do we know what Tennessee is paying him? I still like the Wilson move, but if Pollard was not commanding big bucks, I would have brought him in too.
It's 1 year low money.
Yeah, also, I guarantee it's not a lot of
money.
Yeah,
also, can we make some progress on John Abraham? Get this woman on the phone who says he was signing with us and ask her what the deal is.
Erica Lee, what's the deal?
So, yeah.
I don't know what to tell you about John Abraham other than he's going to be shopping around and if someone pays him more than the Patriots, he's going to take it.
And as he should. I got no problem with that.
I mean,
you got 3 straight years where you've had, you know, basically 10 sack years.
I wonder if the whole Doomerville thing didn't have something to do with it. You know, when it happened, maybe he was sort of signed, sealed, and delivered. And he was like, well, wait a minute. Things are changing now.
Right.
Because that's when it was, right? That's the time frame.
Yes.
It was Friday afternoon. It seemed like
I think that
all
changed
systems
a lot.
Would go. And
that
all of a sudden, he was not
and
signed.
Maybe not just for Doomerville because the Freeney thing.
A lot
the,
of teams.
Sort of the,
a lot
the
of
rotation.
Teams, yes. A lot of teams that might have had Abraham in their sights step back and say, well, wait a minute. I can get you almost Doomerville.
And I'm not necessarily going to investigate that first.
And
I'm not blindly blaming the players here. I mean, it could have been something like Andy just said. Well, Doomerville's out in Denver. Freeney kind of wanted to go to Denver, it seemed, because he wanted to go back with Peyton. So maybe now he's saying, well, I'm going to go to Denver. So that eliminates the Patriots' chip of playing Abraham and Freeney off each other. And now all of a sudden they're like, oh, well, because I think they clearly had both of those guys here to see who would sign for less.
I do, too.
And I think they would have been perfectly content to sign either one of those guys on Friday. And then all of a sudden, Freeney says, well, I'm going to go to Denver and see what they have to say. And maybe Abraham takes a step back, and the Patriots take a step back and say, all right, let's reevaluate.
It changed everything. That will go down in, I think, agent history as, you know, what not to do. That changed everything. Guy lost his job because of it.
The whole fax thing sort of fascinates me, too.
Yeah.
Is there no other way to do that other than
Well, nowadays, even with PDFs, you can sign them digitally.
Well, I saw, somebody was tweeting out, don't agents know that whatever program
I do it all the time. I don't print them out anymore.
So how do you sign it?
You have to set up a thing on your computer with encryption and with a password so that you go onto the PDF, you go to where the signature is, and there's a little pen symbol on the PDF that says sign. You click that, type in your password, and it inputs your name with all this, like, code. And it's legally binding. It's accepted in the courts. So,
but you don't actually sign.
No, you just
click. Well, you can do that too.
Yeah,
I've done. I've bought things where they bring you either
if you want to
like
scan it,
an iPad or an iPhone, and they have you sign with your finger.
Yep.
Oh wow!
Oh yeah, that's Square.
I never did that.
Yep. Yeah. That's big now.
I picked up a pizza at a new pizza place, and I signed on an iPad.
I did it in a cab in New York. Yep. Rafael Lopez says,
where have you ever done it, Eric?
Did they have...
he's still sulking.
Did they have digital payment?
Update on the angry Eric situation. Definitely moving towards...
What are you doing, Eric?
Ignoring us.
I'm responding to tweets and things.
Trying to take part in... Related
things.
To the show, or is this
in
now...
anything but this show.
Are you planning your next adventure? Oh,
he pushed the mic away. He shut it off.
Pushed the mic away.
You should have seen it.
This is an unprecedented move in the history of PFW Progress.
He just pushed the microphone away from his face.
We've had times where Fred's told us to leave, but we've never had anyone just openly leave
on his own. I just want to know what you're doing.
He's done.
He doesn't want to talk anymore.
He's not talking.
He took his ball and went home.
He's participating in something, but it's not this show.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing.
He's perilloing you.
He's tweeting.
I've never done this.
Oh, you pushed the mic away.
Never.
Yeah.
At least when Adam
Schefter was here. I
talked
too much to do that.
He talked to us while he was on his phone. He didn't.
I don't know if you've realized, Fred, he's not responding to you.
Yeah.
He's reminding me of my 2-year-old daughter.
Some might refer to this as insubordination.
Well, you could. And it is review time. So
that is true. Just gave you a yap. That's the only thing he responded to.
Shook his head in disdain as well. Disdain? Disdain. I got disdain.
Mild disdain?
The mic is back. Somewhat mild.
Somewhat mild disdain?
Just stop, please.
I want angry Eric.
I pushed the mic away for my own benefit, not for yours.
I want to see angry Eric.
That means he was about to snap. Uh-oh. That beast that came out at St. Andrews when he beat that kid to a pulp, that was ready to come out. That was
now
ready
he went to
snap.
Prep school in Scotland.
No, there's in Rhode Island there's a prep school called St. Andrews.
I didn't think that was the only St. Andrews in the world.
I'm the only St. Andrew in the world.
Raphael writes in.
Signed, as Indy's mother.
As the faces and voices of Patriots Nation, I ask you, where is the outrage? We cannot allow them to do yet again what they've always done with free agency, not this year. This is a very down market in terms of value, especially in the positions that are actually needed here. Yet they still want to pay the least they have to, thus signing the lower talent.
Wait, whoa. I agree they want to pay the least they have to. But if they get the guy they want, that's the right plan.
Well,
right?
I think. And the other part of that is,
like, I would have paid Aqib Talib $9.6 million because I would have franchised him to keep him for 1 year. They kept him for 1 year at $5 million. They saved $4.6 million.
Right. Well, the other part of this is, if you take them, their system, they're about establishing the market and finding their place in it, right? That they're looking for value in their market. Well, the same guy might have signed 3 years ago for a lot more money. The Patriots may have had to give him a lot more money. It still might have been what some deemed below market value. They're doing the same thing now, only the numbers are lower. You can't say, well, now the numbers are more in line with where we think the market should be, so I'm going to pay more. That would run counter to your principles. You don't do that.
Right. But if they want Abraham, and they don't get Abraham, now you're being cheap.
But you also you open yourself up for criticism, just like you would if 3 years ago, if you wanted someone that was too much money and it was a lot more money. It's the same person. You know what I'm saying?
No, but I'm just saying if they want Abraham and they play the game and they get him at cheap, okay, they did a good job. But if they and I'm sorry, I get back to the draft pick. I don't buy that they feel the exact same about Freeney and Abraham. I think you have a preference. You have a pecking order. This guy's the best. This guy's the next best available. This guy will pay. So if you want Abraham and you lose him because of $500,000, you offered him, you know, 1 year, 2.5, and he said, I want 2.7. Okay, now I'm mad. You weren't willing to go $200,000 to get a pass rusher that you need. So if Talib, it worked out. Vollmer, it looks like it might work out that they're going to get Vollmer back potentially at a very palatable deal.
Yeah,
we talked about that before free agency started, that possibility existed, that they wouldn't use the tag. They could potentially get two or maybe all three of the big three to come back.
They could have. They could have gotten all three of them
and
for
still
like,
been under the cap.
For a lot less than those franchise numbers. That's why we didn't think
million,
they were going to use it, right?
12 million and 5 million. Say 22 million, they could have got all three.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Instead of, it would have, you know, the three tags were 10
I think
million
that they're definitely open to criticism if they don't get the guys that they're trying to get.
But we'll never know.
But it's the same to me as it always is every other year. I don't look at it. I don't think it's worse this year because the numbers are lower. This is how they do business. You sign on my terms in my market and what my value is.
I buy the Vizio. I don't buy the Sony.
But do you understand what I'm saying is 3 years ago, they might have lost out on some free agent because he was looking for $8 million and they only wanted to pay him $6 million.
Oh, yeah, no.
This year they might lose out on the same caliber
the
free agent.
The gross value
who's only going to cost $4 million and they want to give him $2 million.
Right.
It's the same. They're very consistent. You don't sit there and say, well, it only cost $4 million this year and I think he's worth $2 million, but I'll give him because it's only $4 million. That's more criticizable. I'm willing to go up higher because the numbers were lower. No. You pay the guy what you think he's worth and you stick to that.
Raphael continues, didn't they always want an Ed Reed in the past? Well, who would have thought they could have had him for about $4 million a year? Instead, they give that to Kyle Arrington. Really?
While letting him go
to the one and only teams that can challenge us in the AFC, same with all the good corners that were out there. I just don't understand how they can give Sean Ellis $4 million 1 year and find that's too expensive for Freeney or Abraham the next.
Wait, didn't they get Talib? I mean,
yeah, he's
they got one of the good corners out there.
Right.
They liked him. He worked here. I can't criticize the Talib signing on any level.
The Arrington one, to me, is open to criticism. I think that's more money than they needed to pay for him.
Obviously, well, that because it looks like...
They felt differently.
It looks like they're paying, you know, 2 years ago cornerback money instead of... Because 2 years ago, if
that's
you said 4 years,
contract.
$16 million, with $8 million, you would have said... That's a decent low level cornerback contract.
I mean, 4 and 16. I want to say Keenan Lewis was 5 and something in the low 20s.
So not much different.
Yeah. I mean, it's really kind of and that was the high watermark for corners. Mm-hmm. They paid, in this market, high-end money for Kyle Arrington.
He tied for the league lead in interception 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Jim in Pittsburgh.
if you think that he's worth, you know, being considered one of the top interceptors in football, then fine. You
I think
him
he's
$4
million. A solid slot corner. I like what
and
I
they
saw.
Don't cost
the
$4
problem
million
is, you wonder, can he stay in the slot? It's like, does he always get bumped out, and all of a sudden, now he's getting embarrassed on the outside?
Jim in Pittsburgh, hey, guys, rather than looking to NASA, they should be looking to NASCAR for helmet technology. They have made huge strides in deceleration technology, which is the problem. The problem is you only have a few inches of material to accomplish that with.
Yeah, but
deceleration.
They have a lot more to work with. They have the Hans, and then they have the crush cage,
Solo,
or whatever.
Dan says the
head and neck.
Dan says the solution to head injuries and contract issues is to use robots
to
instead
up
of players.
Okay. No, that's not fun. Because now they're all pre-programmed, and you know who's the most. Now it's Madden. Everybody has a numerical rating. That's not fun.
Oh, and you get joystick, Belichick.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
I don't know.
That wouldn't be fun to have robots battling.
This is like his HGH trip to Orlando earlier in the show that just spiraled out of control.
All right. Quick over.
All right.
Quick
we
over
also
under
forgot
game
to do our tease. You know, remember when we teased where does Wes Welker's departure rank among the most, you know, painful departures?
Oh,
of
yeah.
Era?
We didn't play
big
that game.
Big.
We didn't.
We'll play one quick game to end the show. This is from an email from Dan. I'm not going to read the rest of the email because it's too long. But the over under game, Chandler Jones sacks this year, 8.
Over.
I'll say over, too.
Yeah, all right.
Over.
Grudgingly.
Danny Amendola, TDs.
Well, I'm just worried about his health. That's all.
DATD, 7.
Under.
Push.
Okay. Tom Brady picks, 10.
Over.
Over.
Wins in the regular season, 12.
Push.
Under.
And finally, games played by Rob Gronkowski, including postseason, 15.
Over.
It's going to have a full
beastly year. Yep.
All
he
right.
He plays a minimum of 17 games this year.
That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Thanks, everyone, for listening
not
this
a lot
week.
Of games, though.
It's a minimum.
Thanks,
well, if they
everyone
lose in the opening round of the playoffs, people are going to be pissed.
But that's a minimum.
Kevin Pepe for filling in. Eric for being back.
What if he misses a couple, and that means a Super Bowl.
And we'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.